It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. We have an amazing panel. Brian Brushwood's here, Baratunde Thurston, John C. Dvorak. We'll talk about the week's Apple news, Microsoft's erection in London, and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. TWiT is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 429, recorded October 27th, 2013. Grasp the nettle firmly. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Shutterstock.com, with over 28 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips. Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 25% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code TWIT1013. And by SumAll. Easily connect your data from Google, Twitter, YouTube, PayPal, Amazon, Facebook, and more to gain important insights instantly, all in one beautiful interface. Start using it for free today at sumall.com. And by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet online. You can share the same screen and see each other in HD video conferencing. Start hosting a GoToMeeting in seconds from your computer or mobile device by signing up for a free 30-day trial. There's no credit card required to get started. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code TWIT. And by Carbonite. Whether you have one computer at home or several at your small business, Carbonite backs up your files to the cloud automatically and continually. Plus, access your files anytime, anywhere with a free app. Start your free trial at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use the offer code TWIT and you'll get 2 bonus months with purchase. It's time for TWIT This Week in Tech, the show that covers all your technology news of the week. And he's been here since last week. John C. Dvorak is back.
I changed my shirt.
We have a whole wardrobe.
I know. The wardrobe room has got all kinds of cool stuff in
nice?
It.
Nice, yeah.
What happened to all the Hawaiian shirts that used to be
there?
They're there. I didn't see them.
What?
They hid them from you.
Oh, yeah, they're mine. Nowhere. Hey, that's Baratunde Thurston.
Oh, my God.
Nice to see you.
Nice to be back.
Out of Brooklyn.
Yes, sir.
And here on the West Coast?
Doing a tour, West Coast.
Well, you're doing
to Ireland, back to the West
Coast.
Are
you?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You have been very busy. You've been keynoting. You've been doing TV shows. You're doing the Comedy Hack Day, which
That's
is
right.
awesome.
Yeah, man.
Just did one at MIT, right?
MIT Media Lab about a month ago.
Wow.
Very
Tell me what that is.
So the idea, it's our company, Cultivated Wit is the name of the company, and we like to smash humor and technology together to try to make interesting things.
So and then somebody wins because they do the best in both?
Yeah, so it's a hackathon, but better, because you have funny people involved, and the goal is to make
But wait a minute, can comics write code?
Some can.
Really?
Actually.
And, Dick Costolo is very funny.
And
CEO
some
Twitter,
also,
yeah.
The point is to create a team that has multiple talents. So
now, Baratunde, the one that I liked the most was the one where it did a link bait generator.
What Clickster bait. Clickster bait.
Clickster bait.
Yeah, so the idea is, you know, you have a lot of editorial outlets, news outlets,
right.
really being mysterious with their headlines.
Right.
You won't believe what Jack Kennedy said to this dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, why bother actually creating content behind that?
No need.
Let's just have a site full of clickbait links.
Brilliant.
And they auto-generated. It pulls celebrity images and rhetorical questions.
I love the way it auto-generates this. Africans have been demanding it, and what he did helped every lesbian alive today.
By the way, that's Brian Brushwood from NSFW.
Hey, what's going on?
The BB show, and of course, well-known magician. What did it say? You can't show that one.
They said it shows Christ, and it says they fired him for being himself. And what he did helped every lesbian alive today.
So that's guaranteed to get clicks. Actually, I would click on
would
that just
say,
to wonder,
yeah.
what the heck is that?
Yeah. No, it's really, it's funny stuff.
Probably something to avoid.
The big thing that the news outlets still do today is they ask a question. Like, you know, can your car kill you?
Yeah.
And then
the Cleveland Clinic did it.
And then in the body of the thing, they say no, but you clicked on it.
Yeah.
It's an old trick.
It's an old trick. You know probably every one of them. You're the king. You invented link baiting.
I invented link baiting.
Before there was a name for it.
Exactly.
When you were the anti-editor in the back of Macworld magazine, you would say it intentionally provocative.
I was hired to do
exactly
that.
But he stopped doing that now.
Well, I don't get paid. I was paid to do that.
Can you do it now?
Felix Dennis gave me, he said, here's what you do. And he gave me that title, and I was the anti-editor.
Wow.
I was paid to condemn Apple and the Mac. And people still are pissed at me about this.
Yeah, well, it's typecasting. You kind of, you got known for that.
You know what? Turns out to be a winner.
You're a good carrier.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
So Apple had a little bit of an event this week. It would give John a chance to vent some spleen.
Reprise your old role.
They announced a significant number of things. That two new iPads, the iPad Air, which kind of surprised us. We didn't know they would name it that.
That was dumb.
The old iPad shrunk to a smaller size, almost half a pound lighter, which I think is a big deal. Faster processor.
Wasn't that heavy, but okay.
It was kind of heavy.
Yeah.
It's kind of heavy.
I mean, when I switched from the full iPad to the mini, I realized I didn't ever want the full one again because it was too heavy.
It's the weight.
When you're holding it, when you're reading long things, holding it for a long time, like a Kindle, it's so much lighter, easier to read a book on than that big monstrosity.
They've also put Retina on the Mini. In fact, they did something odd with the Mini. The Mini was kind of essentially an iPad 2. It was a couple of generations back, 1024 by 768.
They caught it up.
They caught it up all the way up. Yeah. So it, in fact, this is going to confuse me. And a couple of other, MG Siegler wrote about this saying, I don't know what to buy because the big iPad, the Air, is smaller and lighter, so it's closer to a Mini. And the Mini is faster in Retina, so it's closer to an iPad.
Dimensions of the iPad haven't changed, have they? Just the depth and the weight.
Right? Yeah, XY has, too, because notice this narrowed bezel.
Ah.
They took away some of that big, wide frame on it, so it's, in fact,
it's
narrower.
It's big.
So on the iPad Mini, did the actual, when you say Retina resolution, is that a reference to the number of pixels per inch or the total number of pixels?
Same resolution as the 10.7. Look, Retina is a marketing term. All it means, according to Apple,
it means awesomer.
It's better, and you should spend money. No, it means
betterer.
That at the normal viewing distance, you can't see pixels. That means a 1080p TV at 10 feet. That means a laptop computer at arm's length. Mm-hmm. And then on a phone, it means higher pixels per inch. The density on the iPad Mini with Retina is the highest by a little bit of any device out there, 326 PPI. So it's higher than the regular iPad Air.
This is weird for me because one of my friends, Andrew Main, picked up the iPad Mini.
Is he any relation to Gucci?
Before it was, this is going to sound like I'm saying he's a hipster, but before it hit Retina and was saying, like, this is it. This is totally sufficient resolution. I don't need to get to a level
Baritone
that I can't
I
see the difference.
No, history disagrees. I mean, you can never say, like, this is enough technology.
You actually played the history card this early in the show?
I did. It was way before the Nazi card, though. So, look. Like to say, like, oh, we don't need more RAM. Like, didn't Bill Gates famously say that and was like super wrong? So
supposedly,
okay, the idea that we don't need more.
But there's a sweet spot with performance versus fidelity, right? So it's like the trade-off at some point is let's reduce the fidelity so we can get higher frame rates. And if you're into games, if you're into the aesthetic performance of things, then I would say that there is a sweet spot that you want to hit where it's like, for example, I'm disappointed. I still have the iPad 3, the third generation one, and there are games I play that I'm mad because, like, why did I get this stupid upgrade? If I was just playing it in a lower resolution, it would run much, much smoother.
Well, that was an issue, and oddly enough, it's why the iPad 3 is no longer being sold, even though the iPad 2 is. That was a problem on the third. I hate this is Apple Arcana, which nobody cares about. But the iPad 3 was the first Retina, the third generation iPad. But it didn't have a processor sufficient to move pixels.
Okay.
So people complained about its sluggishness. That's why Apple, oddly, is still selling the iPad 2.
But part of that was, I think Daring Fireball Dude said this, but people still want a cheap option. And if you are using
it's not that cheap, it's $2.99, and you can get a
$5.99.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And if you're using it as a kiosk, you don't need high resolution. You need big digit buttons.
And maybe you want the 30-pin connector for some.
Because you already invested in all those adapters.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun.
I think Apple's big problem, and I think you and I talked about it before the show, is it's like, who cares?
Well, it's a little bit like, it's, okay, first of all, Apple, yes, you've done amazing things. However, I feel like...
But what have you done for me lately?
In order to keep up with appearances, you're kind of taking steroids now. The fact that you're combining... The fact that you're combining your 5S and your 5C sales together to say, no, I'm as big and strong as I ever was. Apple smash. It's like, it's beneath you, Apple. And
well, a really good example of that is the chart that Tim Cook showed of iPad sales, in which they didn't show iPad sales. They showed cumulative sales. Now, anybody who's ever made a chart knows that cumulative means it's always going up. Sales could
let's
stop.
Hope. On returns.
So, and he didn't, you know, they didn't hide it, although they did. There was
says cumulative.
There's
right
no
the top.
0 point on it. It's so the this is this quartz.
Oh, that's
dot com.
Cool. It's up and to the right. I like that.
Yeah, made an actual.
That's a line going upward. Leo, are you saying that there's something wrong with Apple?
So the bottom part, the bar chart on this quartz, it shows actual sales, which are flattening. They're dying. But if you do cumulative sales, well, it's always additive, right? It's always going to be. So that's a little bit of chart foo. If you ask me.
Well, and also, I mean, and this is going to, it's a back-ass word way of me complimenting Apple. Part of the problem is that, you know, my kids still use our Generation 1 iPad.
Right.
You know, they use
that's
the hell out
the
of
problem.
It, and it's great. It's
that's why, I mean, it's
meh. Kids are the problem.
It's just like, well.
Kids are the problem.
Why do they not want more?
Put that on my tombstone. Thanks, Bear Tuesday.
Yeah, if they would just buy more
they
stuff.
They should power the economy more than they are.
Yeah, cheap bastards.
They're holding this great nation and this great company back.
I think
back.
His kids are a bellwether, though. I think that's the problem everywhere is everybody's got. I don't even have. I have an iPad third generation that so-called slow, and I have no desire. I'm going to have to, but I don't really want to buy a new iPad. It's
well,
fine.
And what's funny is. I'm experiencing that not just on the iPad, but on the iPhone as well. Like I had previously announced that this will be, or the 5S is the first iPhone that I did not buy at launch. And I wasn't intending to buy it at all. But then weirdly, my wife is the one, she's using my old iPhone 4S, which doesn't have LTE, doesn't have the extra dimensions on the screen. She's like, well, I was really looking forward to getting your 5. And so it's like, well, crap. And so now I'm going to end up buying the 5S, even though I'm not really all that excited about it.
Right after Tim Cook showed that graph, he pointed out iPads have sold 170 million to date.
That's a big number.
Paul Theriot, who was, by the way, our host of Windows Weekly, he was the guy who wrote that quote that they didn't source in the thing that said, anybody who thinks the iPad is a game changer is a tool. That was Paul Theriot who said that. Quickly wow. Sourced by many folks, including, as soon as I heard the word tool, I thought, that sounds like Paul. In any event, Paul pointed out that 170 million iPads, while a nice number, is the number of total PC sales over the last 6 months. 6 months, not 3 years. And widely agree that we're in a post PC era and nobody's buying PCs anymore. So numbers lie. This is not a. I mean,
well, it's all perception. It's perception. Nothing to do with numbers.
Right.
No, PCs still sell like hotcakes.
They sell like iPads, only better.
Yeah, well, they sell. There's a lot of PCs being sold. They have to be sold.
And why do people still buy PCs in a post-PC?
Because with the case of my machine, my Vista machine, it's essentially starting to die every which way. I have Word that this machine has not been modified. There's nothing going on. But why does Word all? So I got two screens, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I take Microsoft Word. I can type and type and type. As soon as I save the file, it blows up Microsoft Word. And if you really want to blow it up, if I take Microsoft Word and move it to screen two, boom, it blows up and disappears.
Maybe Vista's the problem.
That's a strange set of problems, but it does take
this is only recent.
Like in the past month?
No, in the past couple of months. Okay. It's pretty recent.
This is John C. Dvorak, I love you deeply, but it sounds a little bit like I'm sitting down with my parents right now.
And when I was a kid...
You know what I've been getting lately? The radio show is such a it's both a
wait stop a minute Brushwood. So in other words, I should not ever complain about these bugs, these inherent bugs and these failures because I sound like an old man. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying
sort of an ageist jerk off.
Which is what an old man would say.
Called an ageist. This is great.
Get off my lawn, Schwood.
Actually, the ageist thing comes from Berkeley. It's not really an age based commentary.
I'm just guessing. I don't know. Like, I don't know nothing about your problem, but it just seems to
it's
be like that.
It's an idiotic problem that shouldn't exist, is what my comment is.
Well, it shouldn't, but it happened all of us. You think. I mean, it could be you. It could be the hard drive.
No, it's not me, believe me.
It's never.
It's not the hard drive.
Not a user error.
So I've been getting a lot of people calling the radio show. Same thing. My Gmail isn't working. I don't have any mail in my Gmail. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the... But it's
so
not,
you're saying the same thing to me that he did.
No, but here's
which
the point.
Which I should never mention.
No, but here's the point. I've gotten like 3 or 4 calls like that. Now, clearly, if Gmail really weren't working, there'd be more than 4 people. But if it were working, there wouldn't be 4 people. So what's going on that some people... So there's a problem.
Time for a house call.
I don't want
to go
to
John's
house.
We
can go to John's
house. Let's go to John's house. Sort out his dot X situation.
Trying to figure this out.
That's the problem. It's all too complicated. What are you using Vista for?
It's a machine that I... Here's the problem.
This is what you write on as a Vista machine?
Yeah. Yeah. I have
you do sound like an old man. What the hell are you using Vista? How old is Vista? It's 10 years old.
Here's the problem. When I have some a lot of legacy gear. I go to Windows 7, and Windows 7 all of a sudden says, Oh, that Epson printer, sorry, you can't use that anymore. Yeah, yeah. Oh, whoa, you can't use that NAS drive. Forget it. You're just be isolated. If you go to Windows 8, you can use some of these things. But Windows 7 is one of the worst legacy operating systems.
Isn't that funny?
It totally sucks.
I like Windows 7 so much.
Oh, yeah, it's great to play with, but when you try to hook it up to old stuff, it doesn't work.
Get new stuff. That's what you
have.
I'm not made out of money.
It comes back to Schwitz kids.
I do the agenda show on the public's dime. I'm starving to death here.
Check your TCP/IP settings.
Control all deletes.
I think the problem is Trumpet Wimsock is.
Oh wow!
Yeah, is
now that's a date.
Yes.
Thank you. Have you checked the autoexec.bat file?
Oh, I have.
It's an interrupt problem.
Yeah.
You've got an interrupt conflict.
You might have some extra. Your IRQs might be all mixed up.
The funny thing is, John and I in the early 90s did a radio show together, and that's pretty much all we talked about is interrupt conflicts.
No, that's when people would call in.
Trumpet Wimsock.
Is your printer a dot matrix printer, John?
It's a slip connection. You need a TCP.
I'd love to have a dot matrix printer.
Just for the sound effects?
No, just for to print stuff and give it to people.
Use the print shop.
Here you go. I made a printout for you.
With no irony
don't burst it.
The joke of it is you can't probably talk to one of these printers anymore with Windows 7.
You need a parallel port. Let's make it a project. It's a USB to parallel connector. We can do it. It's a good Kickstarter.
Bam.
For what? Who's going to give you money for this?
Invitations. .net.
First, you got to find the printer.
Oh, you are naturally born entrepreneur. You're an NBE.
Vintage,
that is beautiful.
Boom. That would be good.
That is beautiful.
You need. I think it's the Epson 1200. I think was that the classic?
Yeah. Tractor feed.
Yeah, and you get.
I can't even buy that paper.
Don't burst into. That's the problem. You'd have to have the Kickstarter would also have to be to make that paper again.
Oh, wow.
You'd have to find a factory in Brooklyn.
I think people have some left over. I have some 8-inch floppies that I've been meaning to sell. Those things are becoming more valuable by the day.
I'll tell you what. Now this is the weird cross-section where I feel like JCD should merge with the hipster community and bring back, hipsterism Apple IIe days where it's like sell everyone back their floppy disks for, $20.
I think the hipsters are on to something.
Zip disks would be great.
The USB to
To parallel.
This is going to happen because it's already happened with vinyl records. There's this whole thing, this retro movement. Let's bring back the Model 100. Now, that was a computer a man could use. Out in the wilderness.
That was the one that all the journalists bought.
Everybody used it in the sports box,
Dude, it was the sound of the dot matrix and the smell of the dot matrix ink. Like it would bring me back, man.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome.
That's another problem, getting those ribbons. There's a lot of roadblocks here doing things right.
Not roadblocks, John. Opportunities.
No bad answers and brainstorming. We could get through this.
I've got this, Olympus had this cool camera that they brought out during the 2-megapixel era. That had a small, it was a big clunking looking thing, but it had you put a Polaroid deal in there. So you can take a digital photo and then push the button. Your little picture would come out. Try getting these Polaroid things. Mostly guys have put them in lockers in Alaska. They've frozen them. And it was frozen back in 62. And you have to buy this stuff over the internet. And it probably doesn't work anyway.
You know, there's rumors going on that Nikon is going to re-release its F3 camera. Talk about nostalgia. The Nikon F3, very popular film camera. They're going to make a digital
An F3.
It's a beautiful camera. You can buy it for $200 now, $150. But they're going to make, the rumor is very strong that this week Nikon will announce an F3 digital. And so that's more of this nostalgia, this hipster nostalgia going back. How did we get into this? Dot Matrix.
No, it was Brushwood insulting me.
We were on Apple.
Yeah, no, sorry. I called JCD old.
This is how much, and you ended up taking this off the track.
This is how much people hate talking about Apple, is they're willing to take it all the way to Dot Matrix just to not
How did we go back 30 years?
You know what?
There's that.
We're willing to take it all the way back to Apple with the Apple IIe. That's how much we hate.
We went full circle.
Well, that's not
good.
We went full circle.
The 2E, well, it's still kind of a modern machine by early Apple standards.
That
was my first machine.
That's still an early machine.
Like it where you had to make the printer work, you had to print one of the slots.
They're still selling the Epson Dot Matrix on Amazon.
Keep in mind also,
the LQs.
There were certain mechanics that forced people, when you go to pick up your rental car, oftentimes they're using a Dot Matrix printer.
There's only four left in stock.
Look at the price on this thing. It's a ripoff.
There's only four left in stock. It's the same four that were left in stock 5 years ago. That is ridiculous.
$482.99 for the LQ2090.
You know, this must be somebody who has like a Windows 95 machine doing invoices, and they have to use this.
No, they don't.
There's other people selling this. This is like...
When I worked at Dell, we would get people who their entire business, like one of the things was they had like triple print paper where it's like it would do, you know, carbon copies every time you printed stuff out.
Yeah.
And you couldn't do laser printing on those or wouldn't go through to the other two copies. So it's like rental
carbons,
car companies and these guys, they would need
carbons.
These.
Low markup is selling an Epson LQ for $636. Low
markup. This is good business.
Somebody must need this.
Should
stuff.
Open up a
Nobody needs
facility.
It.
But do they want it?
John does, apparently.
It's all that matters.
How do I all of a sudden get stuck with the moniker that I want a Dot Matrix printer?
Hey, $361 for an Oki Microline.
Oh, Oki Day. Now, there's something I could use.
I'm going to...
A 9-pin impact printer.
I'm gonna move to bring the show back to the year 2013.
I have no idea how to get back.
Any daisy wheels? Any daisy wheels on there for sale?
I am lost in the past now.
I need a daisy wheel.
I should have left some crumbs, a golden thread, something.
I need a daisy wheel. Let's check and see if there's
let's
a Xerox daisy
this,
wheel.
This potential floating data center.
That is a great story.
We're in the future now.
I don't know if this is true or not. CNET says Google is building right outside, right over here in the San Francisco Bay and Treasure Island, a floating data center.
Yeah, it's actually a gambling casino resort hotel.
Is it really? This is not. So they did a lot of detective work.
What is the
work.
Point of this?
They
magic.
I'll tell you what the point is geolocation diversity. The fact is, and
what?
This is, I, hold
you
on. Make,
now you're making stuff up now.
That was a great hashtag.
Geolocation diversity.
No, he's right.
Here's the thing.
He's right.
Try this on for size. This is some crazy talk here, right here.
All right.
But
wait for it.
If you are Google and you perceive your business as being so valuable that you don't want to tie it to a specific location in the United States, I don't know. I'm just saying maybe it makes sense.
They have a patent.
A bunch of your data. To where you can kind of move off.
That's how I feel about my home.
Head on
situation.
Out to intercoastal waterways if trouble.
This is from
arrives.
Their 2009 patent,
Pirate Radio.
A water-based data center. Google
this
patented
idea
this.
Is all wet. Sorry.
The interesting thing is, remember they have been using data centers in containers. Because those are cheap, you can get them. They have a whole thing for data centers in the containers.
Right.
As you know, Google must have to buy new data centers several a day at least, right? So these data centers can actually be put into these containers and loaded on these ships via crane. It's a floating platform. Now, one of the issues with data centers is cooling and electrical, right? You got to have lots of cooling. That's why they went up in Portland where electricity
You're
was
buying
cheap.
Into this, I can tell.
I'm totally buying into it. So they use a sea-based electrical generator. And use seawater cooling.
That's awesome. That's just the coolest thing ever. I want it. I want one for myself.
How do they make the connection to the cable to the net?
If only we had some form of wireless communication.
Project Loon.
Subterranean.
Project Loon.
They send a cable all the way
I
up
think
to the
Loon
cloud.
Is the correct word, but what Project Loon are we talking about?
This is a
about?
Google project.
The balloons they're doing down in New Zealand.
In New Zealand
oh,
they did
those
it.
Balloons.
And the idea was high speed internet from low Earth orbit balloons.
So they'll have we're going back to the ocean. I like it.
I'll tell you
That's
what, this
Google
is this is very
by.
Neil Stephenson snow crash. Like the fact that there's only one reason to do all of this, which is if you want to diversify your assets to a position where you're not tied to a certain sociopolitical area.
That, you know, I mean, you want to be. So I'm going to pause you on that one, Schwood. I think there might be other reasons to do it.
Okay. Yeah, let's have something besides that crazy thinking.
I'm just saying, man. It's like,
they could, hey, what does it take for an F-14 to go blow this thing out of the water? Nothing.
That's why there are many of them. They're everywhere.
Oh, and it would take that much longer to blow them all up.
Is there an award for, like, out-crazing John C. Dvorak of the No Agenda podcast, like, within 20 minutes of
starting? As long as you add,
you've already done it, so I'm not worried.
To the end of it, you can get that prize.
What's, so is there anything to talk about with Apple? They're giving away their operating system. They're giving away iWork and iLife.
Well, the iWork, the synchronizing the features of iWork across every platform is a big deal, right? So Pages is the same on iOS as it is in iCloud.
Because everything's 64-bit. That's why they made the mini with Retina BA7.
I mean, other than Google Docs, I don't know any other.
That's the threat, right? This is taken on Google Docs, well, and taken on Microsoft.
Here's the interesting thought to me, and I think this is, again, who's the daring fireball dude? The Fireball guy.
His name is John Gruber, but I prefer to call him Daring Fireball Dude.
Daring Fireball Dude. DFD.
Or just DFD, for sure.
DFBD, depending on your definition of Fireball. So his point, and this is the smartest take I heard on it, was, look, you got Apple squeezing Microsoft from one end, saying, we'll give software away to sell hardware.
Right.
You got Google squeezing from the other end, saying, we'll give software away to sell you.
Right.
Sell your data, sell your information. So whoever is trying to monetize software directly is stuck. And he was positioning it as Microsoft, but it's not just them. I think anyone who's trying to sell their time as coders in software to a user to spend cash dollars is in a weird spot if we're training people from two of the largest organizations that software should be free.
It's a big threat because Amazon and Google can give away hardware and make all them, or make it real cheap, make it on the back end. Apple can't do that.
I mean, they pricing have to make money on the hardware. General, I mean, even what, you know, is under some kind of threat if you don't have the scale. Right. Of a massive organization with
is
huge floating data centers. Schwood?
You get the choice, right?
He fell asleep.
I'm sorry. Once we got off the conspiracy theory track, I lost interest.
Stop right there. If you're a true conspiracy theorist, you never get off the conspiracy theory track.
That's right.
In fact, getting off the track was part of the conspiracy.
Let's take a break. Okay, go ahead. You can answer, or I'll take a break and let you think.
Just turn his mic off.
No. Yeah, let's go.
Our show today brought to you by Shutterstock.com, a great place.
Let's go to Shutterstock.
Shutterstock. Have you been to Shutterstock lately? They keep adding to my searches, hundreds and thousands of new images every single week. So I have to check.
Ballet.
They're currently up to 30,456,465 royalty-free stock images. They added 200,000 this week alone. If you click the footage tab at Shutterstock.com, they also have a lot of video. Very handy for your video productions. Some of the best royalty-free stock videos shot by professionals in great formats. And it's all royalty-free. That means you pay once, and you can use it in your website, a publication, advertising, videos, any kind of project. Now, I want you to sign up for a free account. You don't have to use a credit card. It'll give you access to the images. You can search. They have a great search tool, which lets you search for images, not only by the name of the, you know, the noun, but you could use adjectives as well. So you can, you know,
like fireball.
Yeah, search for
like
daring fireball. That's actually an interesting. I wonder if we could find something. Maybe we can. We'll find a fireball that is no. How about just fireball?
Jinx.
How about fireball? And then
I bet you'll get something for sad fireball.
How about sad fireball?
Oh, these are awesome.
Yeah, you can probably get something for sad.
I like fire too much.
Oh, there you go. Some sad. Yeah, they're sad. No, that's happy. Oh, but there's a sad one. There's all emotions there. There's a fireball saying help.
That's really sad.
Shutterstock kind of amazes me. Set up the free account. You don't need to give them a credit card or anything. You'll be able to use light boxes to categorize groups of photos. Send them to your friends or colleagues.
Those are actual photos, Leo, of people casting sad fireballs. Like, they're sad to be that they're casting sad.
That's an emo witch.
This is a great.
It's an emo witch. It's a good thing to have. I am sad that my hand is now metal.
I am so sad that I'm a superhero.
I hate this life.
The burden of saving mankind.
So anyway, they've got it. They really have got it.
That was an awesome ad.
They have free photos every week. They've got a beautiful iPad app, which you can use for inspiration, as well as just beautiful images. It's global, too. They have branches in almost every country with multilingual customer support. Here's the deal. I want you to try. Set up the account. If you decide you want to buy, Just I ask you use the offer code TWIT1013, all one word, T-W-I-T-1013. You'll get 25% off any package. You can buy bundles of images, but you can also buy subscriptions. Shutterstock.com, offer code TWIT1013. Thank you, Shutterstock, for supporting This Week in Tech.
Thank you, Shutterstock.
Twizzlers, that's all you could
red
find?
Red Vines.
Oh, they're not Twizzlers. Those are red. Is that okay with you?
This is knockoff Twizzler.
What?
I'm going to do the real deal, John. Ladies and
These
gentlemen,
are the originals.
John C. Dvorak kindly offered me what I thought to be an authentic Twizzler snack food product.
Everybody knows Twizzlers are crap.
And
they're
just
chewy, they're grainy, they're
oh,
terrible.
Oh,
These are nice and chewy.
This
oh,
fake me out Twizzler.
Let's say,
this
you know,
bootleg
today,
operation.
There's a nasty virus going around called Crypto Locker. That's what the virus experts call it. But you won't see it necessarily. But what it does is it uses strong encryption to encrypt your files, and you can't get them back.
Right. This is a
really?
this scam began some time ago when they
was ransomware.
Ransomware.
You could always remove ransomware.
This
luring
is someone out of their house, changing the locks behind them.
This is well-written ransomware. I talked earlier today to Steve Gibson. He actually took time out of his busy Sunday,
you know,
to join me. I asked him about Crypto Locker and why he wanted. Yeah, what?
I think you should have recorded that.
I did, and that's why I'm going to play that recording right now. Steve, why are we talking about Crypto Locker?
Yeah, I thought it was really important because this is sort of something new. This new Crypto Locker, which an alarming number of people are falling victim to, it actually encrypts all the documents in their personal documents folder and even other files that it can find in thumb drives or on the network. You know, it's able to reach out essentially from your computer, but it encrypts them in such a way that no expert, I mean, truly no one is able to decrypt it, not even the NSA.
We've seen this category of software before. It's called ransomware, where you'll get a virus on your system, malware on your system, and it puts up a sign. Usually it says, this is the FBI, give us money, and we'll let you access your computer. But in the past, that stuff is, an expert could get around it. This is not like that. This literally does strong encryption on your data, and there is no expert that can get around it.
Correct.
They ask for money, right?
Yeah, they ask for about $300 U.S. or euros or the equivalent in bitcoins. They'll take your money in many different ways. And the idea is that they do have a key which can be used to decrypt your data. So basically, it's holding your files at ransom. And if you don't pay them, they really are gone.
You have 72 hours to send them the money. After that, they delete the key, and it doesn't matter. You know, you could beg and plead all you want. No one can encrypt it. Your data's gone.
Correct. It shows a countdown timer with how much time is left.
And worse, apparently, law enforcement has misguidedly found the servers that these keys, sometimes finds the servers these keys are on, and shuts them down, which means you may not even have 72 hours. If law enforcement gets to the server, the keys are gone, even if you pay the money.
The way to think about this, I think, is backing up is now more important than ever. You're not backing up just in case your hard drive crashes or something bad happens to your computer. But if you got infected by this, there's really no guarantee you can get your data back.
Do we know who's doing this?
No. So far, they've managed to hide themselves. The way they're doing accepting cash is through money packs. And in fact, some of the retailers that offer money packs have said they're having a hard time keeping them in stock now because so many people are buying them in order to try to get their files back.
There's a run on them. They also accept Bitcoin, which is a much less common but equally anonymous form of payment.
Right.
It may not even be just one group. We've seen this with ransomware before. Somebody sells a kit, and then various groups will spread this around. It could be coming from a variety of different people. How do you get this virus?
I think the problem is that it's making people a lot of money. And so they're going to be copycats.
Right.
My concern is this is, we're talking now about the first one, but this is the first of, I'm afraid, many,
right,
because this is going to be the new model for what happens when you get your computer infected. And to answer your question, most of it seems to be so-called phishing mail, where something is, email is sent to you that looks authentic. It looks like it's from your bank. It looks like it's from PayPal. It looks like something you may not expect, but it's reasonable, and they get you to click on a link. Or sometimes they'll say, we just deducted some money from your PayPal account.
Right.
And you go, what?
Here,
and you,
right,
you click on it before you think.
I've seen one example. It looks like it's from a bank, and it says, we've received a wire transfer to you in your name. Attached is the fax. It has the extension .pdf, but hidden, it's really a .pdf.exe. When you double-click it, it doesn't launch a PDF or Adobe Reader. It launches an executable, and by the time you've figured that out, you're dead. Does an antivirus prevent this?
You know, so far, it is managing to get past all the AV, although it is so new. It's only about 3 weeks from the first time we saw it. So there is some delay before the antivirus vendors catch up. There's also a tool which is supposed to prevent its infection, which is available for free, where it deliberately blocks some of the specific behaviors that this thing, this crypto locker, does. The problem with that is, if that got traction, the crypto locker authors would easily circumvent, right, it and work their way around. So really just being extremely careful, clicking on links in email, and really have a backup, because you unfortunately may need it.
Now, there are backups and backups. There, if you have what's called a hot backup, this may not be enough.
Yeah, exactly. Because if, for example, if you're backing up to a, like you have a family or residential network attached storage, if it can see the files, it can encrypt them. So that's
so it can encrypt your backup.
Uh-huh.
And furthermore, you could back up encrypted files. Once it's encrypted, if you don't catch it right away, those files could be backed up as well on top of your good copies. So you want a backup system that isn't local, can't be seen as a drive letter from your computer, your presumably affected computer, and you want a backup that has what's called versioning, so that you can go to a previous unencrypted version. But if you do, then you do have recourse. Best thing, though, not to get this. There is no Mac version of this yet.
It is Windows only.
Right.
Yep. And again, I'm just worried that, I mean, everything we've seen, mostly, I mean, historically, viruses have been an annoyance. This is new, and it's not like this cryptography is rocket science. All of the code to do this is in the public domain. It's common knowledge how to produce this kind of system. And I don't think we've seen the last of it. I think this is the first of it.
Well, it just reinforces how important it is to practice safe computing, not to be very suspicious of attachments, whether they come from somebody you know or not. To be very careful about clicking links in email. Never click a link directly in email and let a web page open. That's always dangerous. Or Instant Messenger. Or on Facebook. Or on Twitter. If you see links. You know, a lot of my Twitter friends have been hacked lately. And I get direct messages from them with links. And, you know, that could easily fool you. Because it's a direct message, private message from a friend.
One of the best little sort of pithy bits of advice we have is, if you did not go seeking it, don't do it.
Right.
That is something that's offered to you. Unfortunately, in this day and age, we have to view that with suspicion. So, you know, manually go to the bank's website that sent you email or that you believe sent you email. You know, you initiate the action rather than letting someone push the action on you. Because
if you get an email from your bank, you could just type in the URL in your browser. That would be safe, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And don't count on your antivirus to protect you. While they are getting updated quickly, they may not block that initial infection. And, of course, it's a cat and mouse game. As soon as the antivirus has come up with detection routines, the bad guys change how it works.
Exactly. And
Steve Gibson's at grc.com. He's a great resource to the community. If you haven't listened to his Security Now podcast, I'm a little biased. I co-host it with him. Wednesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern at twit.tv, or just download it from twit.tv/sn. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Leo.
Yeah, that was actually from earlier today from the radio show, so I apologize. There's no video for those of you watching on video. You just had to watch us nod and think and sit there and eat Twizzlers.
Leo, help me out here. It seems to me like there's almost like a game theory aspect to this whole conundrum, because we've seen the rise of when computer viruses began. A big thrust of it was, you know, to make your mark, like just be the guy who invented the virus, who, you know, went around the world. And then we saw destructive viruses for a while in the early 90s, where it's like, you know, wipe your hard drive just for grins because you wanted to set fire to something beautiful. And then for a long time, we've seen kind of the only reason to write a virus was so that you could get a zombie computer that you could use to make click links for you. So you would have basically a zombie net. But this is a new incredible threat because, number one, the game theory breaks down where if you're writing this kind of computer, it's important that it follow through on the threat of utterly destroying everyone's data so that it gets a reputation for being the kind of thing that you don't want to mess around with and you actually want to spend the money in order to recover your data. And likewise, there's also through cryptocurrency with Bitcoin and so on, there's a simple and relatively untraceable way to get money from it. I mean, is this I fear Steve is 100% right. I mean, it seems scary. Like we could see an onslaught of this, yeah. Right?
The FBI estimated that the earlier ransomwares, you know, the FBI warning where you'd say, FBI says you have child porn on your computer, give us $300 in money packs and we'll forget about it. That has made people millions of dollars a year. $5 million a year is one estimate I saw. But that's nothing, because you could get around that. You could bring it to the guy and he, you know, at the shop, he would know. He could get malware bites and he could remove it. There's no recourse.
It's close to perfect terrorism as you can get.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy.
It's good.
So one of the thoughts it raises for me, Steve's last point about don't, you know, engage in anything you didn't seek out.
Yeah. That actually is a Bruce Schneier.
But it's
statement.
So it's a
Bruce
great
Schneier
general on. Principle of yep. like, of life. Actually, like if somebody comes to talk to you, I didn't seek you out. I'm not engaging with this. But it's harder to do in a high-speed network information
world. Because
you're
not sure.
And I'll speak for myself. I've trained myself to say, like, I rarely seek out news and information, for example. The news finds me. You know, that's the mantra of...
It's pushed, not pulled.
It's like, so it's just in my feed.
Right.
And, you know, I even have advice when I'm talking to people, like, click before you retweet so you know what you're spreading.
Right.
And something may look really attractive as a headline, have a reasonable-looking link, and then you're, you know, sending someone off into some malware, you know, empire. But this is, so this feels consistent with that. The other point I would make is there's a great television show, which this reminds me of, and I can't recommend it enough. I have nothing to do with it, and you'll have to use creative means to acquire it. It's a British Channel 4 television show called Black Mirror.
Okay.
There are only 6 episodes, a la Sherlock, 3 episodes per season.
Okay. This is odd because like instantly you flipped a switch and now we're talking about pirating BBC material. But
I didn't say that. I just you're gonna get a Region 1 DVD player.
You're gonna get it. Yeah.
But Black Mirror is the one to do because I haven't seen any of them because I'm a legal law abiding citizen.
I
want to
know what it is now. I want it.
I mean, you can read about it and they have clips on their website.
It's like the Twilight Zone for technology.
Well, yeah.
It talks about the Black Mirror that we all keep in our
pocket. The dark side of all this stuff. And so this reminds me of one of the scenarios.
Is it a series?
It's a series, but each episode stands on its own.
Is it fiction?
It is, probably.
It's like Persons of Person of Interest.
Like Terminator is a fiction.
Sometimes fiction tells more truth than
does a great job of dealing
this
with
it. This is not it. This cannot be it.
No, I don't know why that's... Oh, yeah, it is, actually.
Is it?
Yep. Yeah. That's one of the episodes.
He's talking to a cartoon. All right, whatever.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's our next thing we all have to watch.
So tie this in for us, Barrett.
Here's the point. It's a new type of hostage taking. It's a new type of theft and a new type of crime. And to your point, Schwood, where I don't even think they have to destroy your data. You just have to never see it again.
Right.
To know that the threat is real and it's credible. And we are all, we've all kind of together agreed somewhat passively, like this is the world we want to live in. We want to digitize all of our files.
Right.
We want to put all of our movies in the cloud. And you get to books like Jonathan Zittrain's The Future of the Internet and How to Stop It. And Bilton's book.
Is this why you're kind of pushing it away?
It's not that I'm pushing it away. It's that I think I am to provide a little more context, just trying to be a little more conscientious about the engagement. So my unplugging from social media and email for 25 days was like healthy, trying to hold on to devices longer. It's
just 25 days?
Financially, which is infinite for me, considering.
It's hard. I have a hard time doing it.
Yeah, that was huge for me.
I don't bother.
Because it's my business. I wouldn't be out of business.
Yeah, exactly. So,
hey, I'm here to talk about tech news. Anything happen that I should know about? Don't tell me.
I feel like I don't know. I kind of think that that's a mistake to say, like, well, I'm a special case because I'm in, you know, you're a pundit and a leader a thought leader in this space. I'm gonna just full on defend the idea of always being plugged into your prosthetic brain. You know, like I went 3 days without being plugged into my prosthetic brain, and I hated being able not to know things.
That's the other way to go, is to grasp the nettle. You could say,
is that what he said?
I said, grasp the nettle, man. Just grasp it and hold it.
There's two ways to go: is to push it away or to grasp the nettle and say, I'm gonna.
What is the nettle?
What that means.
The
nettle.
Guys, you're so illiterate.
I'm getting the context based on your tone.
See, he doesn't know what it means. I never know what he means. Okay, we got half the people here.
Have you ever? You know what a nettle is?
Like, I know a neti pot, which clears out.
Not a neti pot.
If you're like congested in the winter
time, urtica dioica. It is a stinging nettle. Look at this.
It's a plant. Oh, yeah. Nettles. Okay. Yes.
So as it turns out, with a nettle, if you gently hold it, it will prick you.
Right.
If you grasp the nettle firmly, you can get it.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's a great metaphor.
So, and it is a common saying.
But it's because there's intention in it, right?
Yeah. So the idea is, I understand the technology is a double-edged sword, but I am, instead of there's two ways to approach it. One is, I'm going to back off a little bit, and maybe we should be more judicious. The other is say, no, this is the future, so we need to embrace it, and we need to take control of this, and we need to fight the NSA instead of just saying, well, I'm not going to give them any detail. Fight them.
And I don't see those as two different points so much as I see them as part of the same.
I agree. They're both legitimate responses.
So in this case, you know, it doesn't mean like don't use technology. It means use it with knowledge, and try to stay ahead. So have, you know, to Steve's point, have yourself backed up in a non-networked fashion. Right. You know, in part, that doesn't mean you have to every day lug hard drives to a safety deposit box, but maybe once a year you do that. Because things are this important.
Help me on this regard, Baratunde, because like outside of photographs, I have a really hard time thinking of reasons to justify local backups of everything. Like every so often I take all the photographs that we've ever taken and I burn them on, you know, put them onto a hard drive and I give it to a friend just to get it off site. But like outside of that, what else is there to be worried about? You know, stuff like, you know, your credit card information has a built-in liability barrier on it where it's like, even if somebody steals it, you're not responsible for those charges. What else is there I should be scared of?
Well, and this, I'm not even that was an example that I'm not wed to, the idea of the safety deposit box thing. But this virus seems like, I mean, it's not discriminating against any kind of file, is it?
No.
It just wipes out your data.
So, you know, for you who creates things, it's far more than photos that you care about. It might be scripts, it might be notes, it might be journals, it might be things that have intrinsic personal worth and zero to maybe even negative worth to other people. So
in that regard, we're kind of all skewed because all four of us are people who create content that we desperately hope other people will bother to look at. So it's hard to wrap my mind around the idea of like, what have I written that I don't want out there? I'm like, I wish all of it was out there. That's, I don't know.
Well, it's not about it being out there. It's about it not being available to you. I'm not talking about like mass publication of your stuff. I'm talking about mass deletion of your stuff.
Yeah. Either way, that sounds like I'd probably be better off.
So, okay. So just to clarify, like if you lost everything you ever created until this morning, you'd be fine with that.
No, I definitely wouldn't be fine with that. But when I picture that scenario, there's me in the moment who's utterly panicked, like, oh, crap, everything I created is gone. And then there's some like meta me, and maybe I'm alone in this, but there's some meta me watching that scenario. It says, good, now you can do something that matters.
Well, there's another aspect of this, Brian, which is that most of the stuff you create, if you're doing it for a living, is out there, backed up in the system. I mean, PC Magazine has all my old columns. I have copies. Mm-hmm. But no, if I lost everything, exactly I just go back and down.
Yeah. No, that's what Brian's saying. I don't need to back up because it's all out there in the cloud.
Now, I agree. The photos, you can't. And I have most of us that take a lot of pictures, we have triple backups.
Right.
And they're usually offsite. I keep one in the car in my trunk, a bit hard disk bouncing around. It still seems to work.
Really? You keep it in your trunk?
Yeah. Today's hard disks are.
They're tough. It's just an odd place to put it. You didn't want to, like, you could leave it here.
I don't trust anybody here, to be honest about it.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, but I mean, or, well. Dude, I mean,
this audience, by the way, is not laughing at anything, by the way. Brian, it's killing me here.
I'm sorry, dude. Luckily, I'm not there to experience that. But like, I think you bring up a really good point, because if what you're doing is creating value, and if what you're doing matters, and if this is your million-dollar idea or whatever, it seems like you inherently, nowadays, if you trust the cloud and you put your stuff out in the cloud, then you have a copy of some aspect of it on Gmail. You have some version of it on Dropbox.
Yeah, a lot of people save everything on Gmail.
The trick with all that is you don't have anything anymore. None of us
Well, here's a good example. Disney pulled the plug on some movies. We're going to talk about that in just a second. We'll also talk about the Eternal Copyright Act. It's coming up again in just a few years. Now maybe a good time to go after Mickey. Silk Road.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Online drugs.
$28.5 million in Bitcoin out of Ross Ulbricht's pocket into the FBI's. I don't even know how they would know where it is and how to get it. Lots to talk about. But first, and also I am personally looking for the right game to buy for my Xbox One when it comes. We'll add that as well to the list.
What?
Huh? Hold
on. Wait, you're going to get like an Xbox One?
He's talking in code the whole show.
No, there's no code. I realize that neither the PlayStation 4 nor the Xbox One has anything of interest at all in its launch titles.
Not coming too. Now 2 weeks. They pushed, Sleeping Dogs.
Watch Dogs is the one I wanted. Sorry. I couldn't care less about killing zombies or driving a fast car.
Yep. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, that's another story for another day. We have Brian Brushwood here. You know, as the former host of Game On, I think you probably have something to say. Go ahead and say it.
I have some ideas. I'll hold it.
He's also the host of NSFW, which you can see on this network. I don't know what time of day it is or what day it is for a good reason. I don't want to accidentally see the show and have to cancel it.
See, this is good. This is plausible
deniability.
This is why you're so smart, Leo. This is your.
What does this
even
mean?
Good managerial hygiene. Like, if I don't see it,
if I ever were to listen to this show, I would have to say, no, that's not on my network.
Smart. Oh, so you have never listened to the show?
Never. I was on the first episode, and that scared me so much. I haven't listened to it since.
How's it doing, ratings wise?
It's doing very well. It's very popular. See,
it's getting all the views.
I fell in accidentally. I was trying to watch something else, and all of my views just accrued to that show.
I thought they were going to cancel that show.
Every day, every week, it lives on the edge. No, I love it. It's a great show. I've never seen it.
Sword, right? Yeah. All the time.
I want you to live in fear.
Good.
That's a great title.
In that regard, you are experiencing success, sir.
This is my management philosophy.
I want you to live in fear.
I want all my employees to live in fear.
Yeah, that's what they tell us.
It's working. I'm rereading Ender's Game, and
that's what everybody keeps telling me to read. I've never read. Have you read it? What's it about?
It's about everything, man.
Oh, brother!
You know you like only have a week books, to read it before it comes out November 1st.
That's Friday.
Is it a movie?
Yeah.
Don't see the movie.
Why don't I just
go
see
the
movie,
book?
Then read the book if it's any good? Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
No.
My understanding is you see the movie. And then you read the book. Is that backwards?
That's backwards.
Watch the movie first, because nobody has ever said, I watched the movie and really liked it.
Lord of the Rings.
And then I read the book and it was a big letdown. Nobody has ever said that. So always watch the movie first.
Brushwood and I are in agreement. Yeah, but just as he predicted earlier.
It ruins your imagination.
Here's the problem with this. There is a massive twist in this book, which will be ruined if you see the movie. Am I right? It's made of people.
I mean, I know what you're talking.
Look, let's
what is the twist?
Leo.
Tell us.
No!
We should probably move on. He wants us to move on. You don't want to tell me the twist?
You both know what I'm talking about, and I think it would be spoiled to see it. I don't care how good the movie is. The book is better.
A lot of people think Logan's Run is better.
Logan's Run is rad. That's the worst movie ever.
Outside of my cultural range.
Leo! Don't you trash my Logan's Run!
You think that's
Are you standing
good movie?
Up right now, well, sir?
Yeah, it's not a good look for you.
Like cartoon trash can robot saying, "What was it?" He's like, oh. "Algae food."
Yeah. Okay, well, you're saying it's funny good, it's bad good.
Dude, somebody in the chat room, tell me what the ending of Ender's Game is, so I don't have to deal with it.
Don't do that.
Come on, just type it out.
It's so good.
The chat people are better than
it's
that.
It's such a good twist that you really want to read the book. Anyway, we'll get to that. I don't think we have an Audible ad, but just. Please,
just
read the
do
book.
It.
Do yourself a favor, John. Please.
I'll get it this week.
Yes.
Our show today brought to you by Dane Atkinson. And Sumall.
Wait, I know Dane Atkinson.
Of course you do. Everybody does. He started Squarespace. He's a really nice guy. His next, his next enterprise is this amazing company.
Hold on, Leo, you realize, okay, like I met Dane Atkinson when he was at Squarespace,
yes.
And he came out to South by Southwest. Yes,
he's been floating around.
One of the nicest guys ever.
Welcome
and
to
I use
name that advertiser.
Sumall now.
Do you really?
We use it for scamstuff.com.
Because, you should.
And forgive me, this is not scripted, this is not a bit we set up or whatever.
No, it isn't, actually. I didn't know you knew him.
Yeah, no. My experience with Sumall is Sumall is basically the place to get all of your metrics for everything
That's right. That's right.
And for me, personally, like scamstuff.com, we want to know how much we sold, what the traffic is or whatever. We throw that into Sumall. Sumall is better at it than Shopify in some ways.
Well, here's the thing.
Service that we use.
Business intelligence, the idea of BI, has been around for a long time. Big businesses have used this for a long time because once they realize we're in the era of big data and you can know everything about, widgets and how they've sold and who's buying, they started really using this BI software to start really you can project how you're going to do. You can all sorts of stuff you can know. But it's never been in the realm of the individual. And yet, here we are, really, in terms of the individual, we're in this big data era. You've got Twitter, Facebook, Google+, you've got Instagram, you've got YouTube, you've got Foursquare, you've got Tumblr, you've got Blogger, you've got WordPress. You've got all of these sites where you're pouring data into it, everything that's being bought on Amazon. If you're selling Scam School on Amazon, or would you like to know whether the Kindle's doing better than the iBooks, all of that stuff, you could put that in there, and instead of guessing, you can really understand what's going on with your business. Sumall does exactly this. They just added Instagram, Foursquare, Tumblr, Blogger, Moz, Stripe. That's the credit card fulfillment company. Braintree, BigCommerce. So, Brian, you're a perfect example with the Scam School book the Scam School stuff because you want to see, does this campaign, when I do a concert and, a performance in this town, do I see increased sales in this town? If I tweet about it, does that make a difference, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? It's really useful to know. And best of all, this is free. This is absolutely free. Social, commerce, payments, traffic, whatever you want to know, improve modern analytics, integration with related data streams, personalized daily or weekly emails. You can, of course, export it or get a spreadsheet view within Sumall. You can get your projections in email. There are dozens of features. They've really taken off. They've grown 20% over the last month. There are now 60,000 companies and customers using Sumall's data analytics service. And you heard it all about it first here. I think we were the first place to show Sumall to the public. Up-to-the-minute, real-time data. In fact, there's a mobile app for the iPhone that'll show you how your online store is doing up-to-the-minute in real-time historical stats. You could track revenue, units sold. There's an Android app coming soon. I want you to visit sumall.com and sign up for your free account. Start by connecting three or more of the web services you use. It does everything, so that won't be any trouble. Take a few minutes and see. It's hard to describe what it'll do until you use it. These analytics are hugely important. Sumall.com.
Okay, think about it this way. Leo, we all worry about our metrics for our body metrics, whether it's, we wear our Fitbits, we wear our Nike Fuel Bands or whatever. We're obsessed with the numbers for our physical health. Why not the health of your social presence or the health of your small business or the health of everything? You should know what numbers you're doing on everything. This is amazing. What a surprise. I had no idea that Sumall was a sponsor.
I got some
feedback for them. I'll tell
you. Do you? Oh, good. All right. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. You know Dane. Do you know Dane?
I do. I don't think so. Oh, wait. I may have met him.
Met him. He would love to know you. They're in New York. He would love to know you. Dane is one of the coolest guys you'll ever meet. Really, really great. So Disney, I think, might have done some damage to the notion of streaming media. We all know kind of intellectually that when you buy, you know, you buy a movie on Amazon streaming, I just, you know, so I'll give you an example. I wanted to own The Sopranos. When James Gandolfini passed, I wanted to own The Sopranos. I thought this is the greatest show of all time. And I looked and there was no box set. I was going to buy a physical media version of it, but so I priced it out. It was actually about the same to get it on Amazon and have it stored in a locker. No physical stuff to move. No DVDs to lose. Quality was excellent. So I have it. I don't have it. And if you look at the license agreement, I never had it. You have the right to stream it until such time as you don't, basically.
Yeah.
And Disney brought this all home. Now, some say it was an accident. I don't know.
Seems unlikely with Disney.
It seems unlikely. Disney and Pixar have yanked their movies from Amazon Prime and from the Apple, from the iTunes. And if you had it in your locker, if you didn't have a physical copy of it, it's gone.
Ah.
It just deleted the thing you
thought
you owned.
It just deleted the thing you thought you bought, but you didn't.
Which played out perfectly in Zittrain's book. That's exactly why he wrote that.
Yeah.
Saying, like, because you have access to some cloud version of a thing, you don't really have the thing.
Doesn't mean a thing.
And someday someone's going to decide you don't own that.
So Disney, you probably knew this. I know, John, you know this. Disney had this very clever marketing strategy with video cassettes and then later with DVDs where they would make a movie only available for a short time and then they would pull it for 7 years. And it was very smart.
Yeah, and they would change it a little bit every time. They'd beef it up.
It's unpredictable.
Or there'd be some new cut in there.
But it really helped sales because everybody...
Limited-time offers, always a sales...
If you have kids now, you're going to get that Lion King right now.
You are?
Well, I think anyway.
Okay, yeah.
So
Theoretically.
So this, I think this has something to do with that they realized, hey, we can't do that anymore because everybody has got copies of it.
You think this is a marketing stunt?
Well,
stunt is the operative word.
So some say it was a bug. We didn't mean to black out people, even though we had the right to do so.
Here's the important thing, Leo, is whether it was on purpose or not.
It doesn't matter.
Believe it that there are people working at this company who are watching very closely to see what the response is.
That's what I think it was.
And if the response is that, people don't really care when we take things away, then that's a green light. That's a flag that says, go ahead, make artificial scarcity our letter of the day. But if everybody goes completely ape nuts on this, then
which they won't,
you know, it'll make it difficult. So I say, my default position is make noise and get angry about everything.
Nobody does that anymore.
Well, parents might, because unlike a lot of movies, you know, you could have I bought The Breakfast Club once. If I didn't find it there, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, what's happened to my Breakfast Club?
How long would it take you to even notice?
Ever notice. But The Lion, you know, if you have kids, they watch these movies over and over again, you will notice.
Yeah.
So the Disney movies of all.
Daddy, Daddy.
Yeah.
Daddy.
Where's my Lion King?
Where's Daddy?
Yeah.
It can be Daddy. Quite insistent.
Do you have kids?
Nope.
But you seem to do a very good impersonation.
I have a lot of nieces and nephews.
Keep in mind also. The flip side here, which is that kids, while they are very good about repeatedly watching the same content over and over again, they're not terribly picky. For example, I don't think, while my kids have said they want to get on Netflix to watch, you know, Disney made a bunch of their, you know, they got Ant Farm and all these other kids shows that the kids watch over and over and over again. Like, I've never heard the kids once say, hey, where's that one thing that I really wanted to watch that's not available right now? Kids are very menu-based, you know? It's like whatever Netflix has, that's all that ever existed. And if something they watched wasn't available all of a sudden, they don't seem to notice at all.
But so imagine a scenario, and Ken from Chicago in the chat room reminded me of when those 1984 books disappeared from your personal Kindle library, which is so perfectly ironic. So imagine a bigger case where, you know, we're 30 years down the line, even 5 years down the line, and through the ownership stakes of, you know, corporate X like Omni Media, you know, Allied Waste Management, et cetera. There's a little Gary Steingart reference in there. But more than a few titles disappear. You log in and half your catalog is unavailable. Or 3/4 of your catalog is unavailable. Then what?
You raise holy hell.
Will it be too late because you agreed to it?
But you did agree to it. This is the real point, and I think the real risk of this is it's going to raise people's awareness that you didn't own it. They can do this. It's in the terms and conditions. At any time, they can delete those files.
I would hate to take the evil corporate privateer's position here. But it seems to me that the outrage would be directly proportional to the popularity of the title. If it's something that everybody bought and everybody loved and everybody perceived as their own, then yes, the whole world would go nuts and freak out about it, and there would be a big fix to it immediately. But if it's a minor title that nobody cared about, and then it would be quiet. And there's part of me that's kind of okay with that. And that rankles,
but you know, the Cartoon Day, but the part of you that appreciates niche culture and freedom in general is equally as upset. I'm telling you what you think, which is a lot of fun. is equally as upset about that unpopular title disappearing.
Real quick.
Because it's unpopular titles that give us cultural diversity.
Bro hug right now for the fact that you even recognize there's something weird about telling someone else what they think. That is my biggest pet peeve. That is the problem with everything on planet Earth, is that everybody wants to tell somebody else what they think. This is just pause everything, bro hug, and we'll move on. I don't know is where we're at. Then I just realized that bro hug might have a racist angle to it.
Oh, I didn't even, you know what?
Yeah, I noticed it.
No. We've reclaimed bro.
With you, Schwood.
No, we've reclaimed bro. Bro is
I don't think we need to go off this
who's
track.
Who's we, Leo?
We've done every, yes. Yes, Leo.
The white people
that's
have taken
we
it
have to go there. Of
we
you.
Always it's have to word. End up there when I'm
it's
here.
It's our word. No, it's our word now.
Brother.
God, we still dang it.
We still haven't gotten to Hitler.
We almost got through an entire episode without like a little awkward Leo Tune Day race fun.
Here's race baiting.
Was that a bro hug though? What we just did?
No.
I have not reclaimed it. The other ones have. It's because it's frat boys. So my son is a bro.
Here's what I'm asking.
Back to Schwood.
Here's
yeah.
what I'm
bro.
Yes,
how about
okay,
if we
here's
say
what
that?
I'm asking. Is that world where it's not there's never imagine a universe where for the next 100 years there's never a black and white side to this thing. I did it.
Now see.
Keep going.
Don't distract me.
Power through.
It's a good idea.
Power through.
Imagine we never totally settle the left side or the right side. Aha. On this thing. And instead, it's always this mushy issue that flows back and forth. It seems to me like the regulator over issues like this, imagine there's 100 stories exactly like this over the next 100 years.
Yeah.
And every time the way it gets settled is if it's very popular and well beloved by the populace, then they get up in arms. If it's not, then they don't. Like, I'm kind of OK with that because you hit market equilibrium in that situation.
I am not OK with that. Look, man. Justice is not a market-based decision.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? Freedom.
Justice is justice.
Exactly.
No,
it should
that's
work
not true.
For
that's
the many
true.
And the few. Okay. That's the whole point of our democracy.
This is part of a giant scam that you're putting up with.
Here's why that's not true. If that were true, then we would only rely on one juror. But the reason we have 12 is because you get higher fidelity and you get a more accurate reading with 12 instances of justice up and down, thumbs down.
But it's not market-driven.
First of all, it's the market of jurors. I get what you're saying, but it's also our whole system of justice doesn't come down to a pool of jurors. There's a Supreme Court. There's a legislative body. There are referenda.
There are all sorts of mitigating factors against the mob, and its pitchforks winning.
So we have increased and higher levels of fidelity of response. We have people who are more educated, who know more of the backstory for everything leading up to these things. I mean, we're getting on a crazy side here.
Don't you think, Brian, really, that stuff that's unpopular deserves as much protection as stuff that's popular?
Okay.
In fact, I can give you a really good example of this, and these are the works that are technically copyrighted but are orphaned.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody
you,
wants to sir? Assert the copyright, but those are protected by as copyrighted works. And in fact, it was the whole crux of the debate over whether Google could scan books, because even though these were orphaned works that would be lost, because, you know, Larry Lessig suggested just a simple change in the copyright law. If you want to renew the copyright, you need to pay $1. Which was obviously an insignificant amount of money, but many, 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 many works are orphaned. Those should go into the public domain because there's no one who says, yeah, I'll pay a dollar.
Yeah.
Nobody cares enough. That stuff needs to be protected too, don't you think?
Okay, I totally agree with the $1 angle, and let me state, unequivocally, I'm not saying that everything needs to be, just everything's all willy-nilly. I am saying that... that I suspect there's other currencies besides monetary currency mm-hmm. out there.
I agree.
Any kind of intention of protecting your stuff. For example, there will be, and it's difficult for me to think of one at the moment, but there will be some work of art where part of the work of art is that you will never own it and I can do with it whatever I want. And I want to protect the ability for that artist to do that thing, whatever right. it is, you know, right. whatever that fantasy scenario
That's smart.
Is.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is ever going to be a simple yes, you know, one side or the other thing.
I'm with you on that. The point isn't a simple answer. The point is that there is a discussion around it.
And Disney should not be the person in charge of deciding this.
Yeah, that I should be the person in charge of right. telling you what you think. That's the point. I'm done. Can I go home and get some real Twizzlers?
Here we go. The chat room is bringing up right now. They're saying that's MMOs right now. For example, MMOs. Who owns your experience on an MMO? Who owns the, for example, in World of Warcraft, you got the Leroy Jenkins moment. That was a real moment. And granted, it was a fraudulent moment that was manufactured by some pranksters.
But they own it just as much as world. If it were, quote, genuine. I mean...
Yes, exactly. And it's like I don't know. In general, my default position is to allow for the exceptions out
Does
there.
Does Blizzard Somewhere assert that it owns all your experiences in Warcraft? That it's
Well, certainly it says it owns your gold, for example. It flatly says your Warcraft gold has no monetary value, which is what's fascinating to me. Look at this. Me bringing it back to the dock. The NSA
yes.
confiscating Bitcoins. Like that is fascinating to me because unlike ISK in EVE Online or gold in Warcraft, this is a case where the government, by seizing a cryptocurrency, is for the first time perversely kind of acknowledging it as having real monetary value.
What NSA is
it's actually the FBI. They've confiscated
FBI
the Silk Road assets. Let's take a break and talk about that because that's an interesting story. Also, how they figured out who they think is the guy in charge of Silk Road.
Which is amazing.
And he lived just down the road a piece.
There
from
is
here?
No hiding.
He lived in the city, San Francisco.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's down the road.
Is that the guy they arrested?
Yeah.
Not new.
It's a good story, though, how they found him.
We still don't know that it's really him.
We don't, but they think it is.
Well, they...
We'll see. There'll be a trial, and then we'll... But they also confiscated, and I don't know how they... I'm actually very curious how they confiscate Bitcoins... But the FBI says it seized $28.5 million in Bitcoins from the alleged owner of Silk Road.
I need an explanation.
I want my donuts back. We all have problems. I'm talking... Well, that's another kind of...
That's code. That's just more code. Leo's on all code today. We have no idea what he's talking about.
Donuts. This is smart storytelling. This is J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams. Mysteries. Stay tuned for donuts. But first, a word from Citrix, makers of the great go-to meeting... With HD faces, you know, meetings. I don't like meetings. I actually started Twit not because I wanted to do a business or make money or anything. I just didn't want to have any more meetings. Tech TV, it was all meetings. You remember that?
I stayed out of the office.
Meetings. Yeah, that was smart of me.
When I went in the office, I ended up in a meeting.
Yeah.
Just to hear somebody, I won't mention who, listen to himself talk.
Hey, I didn't do it that
No,
much.
Not you.
Oh.
Whoa.
There's a guy that sounded a lot like David, he sounded like Tom Brokaw.
Yeah.
And he was one of the producers, and he would like to just yak away because he sounded like Tom Brokaw.
Anyway, you do sometimes have to have meetings in business because we have a rule here, more than 5 emails on a subject, get the parties in the room to discuss. However, we are, like many businesses now, distributed all over the world. We've got people in Texas. We've got people in Brooklyn. We've got people in England. So that's why when we have to get people together to cut through and solve problems, to brainstorm, to create, we use GoToMeeting. It is a great way to keep everybody on the same page. You're sharing screens. But also now with HD faces, you see them. So it really is as good as a face-to-face meeting. Sometimes better. Frankly, sometimes it's better not to be in the same room with people.
Especially if there's a threat of physical altercation.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Look, Leo, you're not going to say it. Look, let me say the things that I secretly think that you're trying to say.
You know what I'm saying.
Everybody who does any conference call ever is not paying attention. They're all playing Candy Crush.
Candy Crush.
That's right.
Whatever it is the kids are playing today. So with GoToMeeting, you know, you see, you share. You can start a GoToMeeting or attend one from any Mac, PC, smartphone, or tablet. You can even present from an iPad. It is great. I want you to try GoToMeeting. You don't need a credit card anymore to do the 30-day free trial. You just need our offer code TWIT, and I love that too. 30 days free. GoToMeeting.com. You will not need to proffer a credit card. You just need to enter in the offer code TWIT, and then you tell me.
Proffer.
Grasp the nettle. Participate. go-to meeting. He talked like Tom Brokaw. Is it Greg Drebin?
No, Drebin.
Drebin was funny. No, he was entertaining.
Yeah, because he kind of talked like this.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Hey.
Who was it? Talked like Tom Brokaw.
He sounded exactly like Tom Brokaw.
He's a producer?
He's one of the. Let me say, he's very tall.
Oh, I know who you mean.
And he talks like Tom
John,
Brokaw.
You're right.
Leo,
what?
On behalf of the people watching this podcast,
yes.
I feel as though we need to move on to something else. Spoken
all right.
As Tom Brokaw, this is Brian Brushwood.
Give me my donut. I get my donut. Yay! Wait a minute. Somebody bit my donut. All right. I've turned into a prop comic somehow.
Yes, I've noticed.
When did that happen? Silk Road. What is Silk Road? You probably know.
I've read
Because you're black?
No, because I'm super smart and hang out on the internet.
It's where I get my ecstasy.
He gestured to the right, and yeah. I honestly didn't know whether it was me or Baratunde he was pointing to, and that made me extraordinarily happy.
I actually thought it was Schwood because he's
this is my intent.
Libertarian.
So yeah, it actually isn't a website. It's a dark website. They use Tor to protect it. You have to kind of use Tor to get to it.
Got to know somebody to get in the club.
You got to know somebody to get in the club. Yeah. But apparently, and I've never been there, you can use Bitcoin to buy drugs on Silk Road.
What?
It was one of the most popular Bitcoin using sites, right? Because it's completely anonymous, theoretically.
Which nothing really is, we found out.
The FBI, in a very interesting sting, they actually did some legwork and found the guy by going through old postings and tying it back to a Gmail account. They say it's the guy, anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
he says he's not.
Their claims about how they uncovered this person are a real good lesson for anybody who's actually trying to hide.
Yeah.
Which, because it shows you how hard it actually is. I mean, they've gone back nearly three years in online statements, transaction, forum postings, blog posts, and found little mistakes, hints of how someone's interested in the Mises Institute. Like,
right. It was really an interesting
hard
story,
to,
wasn't it?
To not be yourself
I can
is
see
what
the
I
movie.
Got from that story, assuming it's true. It's
well,
like you're going to let pieces of your personality slip out.
Exactly.
You're
going to
drop hints with that revelation. And somebody's going to come knocking at your door.
Even if you use, handles.
Yeah.
At some point. So he started when he first, whoever this guy is. And I'm just going to tell it. Look, I understand Ulbricht is accused. It's alleged. There's no,
yeah,
we don't
it makes
know.
Nothing but sense. The guy made millions and millions of dollars. He lived in some crappy place in San Francisco
they
with
didn't
two
even
roommates.
Know his name. His roommate said, well, we called him Josh.
I'm just not buying this story at all.
You think that, that's interesting.
But regardless, like even if it's not the guy, it doesn't matter. Like we're
they
all
claim
just exploring
the
intellectual possibility.
Right,
here.
Right. They claim he's the Dread Pirate Roberts. That's the handle DPR.
Great name.
That the guy who ran Silk Road used. What's interesting is the FBI says they have recovered his wallet.
That's
probably,
very nice
probably,
of them.
Probably on his computer.
you found your wallet,
in his wallet.
Sir.
And this would be also incriminating, I think, 144,000 bitcoins. I have 4 in my wallet. So they're worth more than $100 each.
How did they do this? It's a virtual product.
No, but your wallet is stored on a computer hard drive.
Okay.
Right. I mean, that's the thing is Bitcoin is not a cloud-based product, as I understand it, insofar as, like, there's not a central server. It's not like Napster. It's more like BitTorrent, where it's like you keep the keys to your own money separate from everything
right.
else. And if they recover your keys, they essentially have your money.
That's right. In fact, people have had their Bitcoins stolen by
so this is when you want to
hackers.
Get hacked by a crypto locker.
So he, in other words, the way it sounds, either had the computer on him so they could associate it with him that it had all the Bitcoins
probably
on
that's
there,
the case.
And he kept an unencrypted file, unencrypted system that would allow them to just waltz right in and find the wallet. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not buying any of it.
They had the FBI official. This is from an article in Forbes by Andy Greenberg. The FBI official, he says, pointed me towards this Bitcoin address, and he gives a link to the Bitcoin address, which, according to the public Bitcoin transaction network, the blockchain, had received 144,000 transactions in the last 24 hours. Something's going on.
Yeah.
All right. So I think what I'm about to say might feel like a side jag, but I feel like it's totally in line with what we're talking about right here. What we're talking about is the ethics of behavior, about the ability to look at a history of a person's transactions and figure out if he's guilty or innocent or whatever. Here's what's remarkable to me, and I kind of want to throw this out there, and if you guys don't want to go along, that's fine. We'll move on to something else. But is the nature of internet transactions causing all of us to be more ethical? And what I mean by that is, you know, for the entire history of mankind, there has been some religion or other that has said there is a permanent record and there is an entity monitoring your every move. And, are you doing the right thing or the wrong thing?
That's the theory of Bitcoin. You know, cash is anonymous. That's why a lot of people like John C. Dvorak don't want cash to ever be eliminated, because it's the only really anonymous way to pay for
it. How he buys his drugs.
Right. But not just drugs.
I'm old enough, I don't need drugs.
No, but whatever. You know, if you don't want the government to monitor you, you can't use a credit card. You can't write a check. You have to use cash. And you have to get it from some anonymous source.
My middle initial is C.
So, Brian, where are you going?
Well, okay, well, where I'm headed with this is that it's not just about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is just one of the different threads in this discussion. You know, there's technology now. You can actually go online to YouTube and look at where they have recorded movies. You know, there's movies of people doing this thing or acting or doing whatever they do. And there are people who have figured out that you can look at the difference in the color scheme of their skin and amplify it and be able to see the rate of their pulse as they're acting in the movie. You see a baby and it looks like he's flashing red, but that's just because they turn up the contrast to a billion on this thing.
Or that baby's the devil.
It could be. But also there's the ability to break down. There's the ability to break down the patterns.
What are you doing?
I'm having trouble listening to this.
What are you talking about? My point is, we exist as a series of patterns. Whether it's what we write, whether it's
get to the point. What are you saying there, Schwood? What are you saying?
What are you trying to tell us, man, dude?
My question is the by the way, first dude of the entire show came from you, bro.
Thank you.
What? Here's what I'm trying to say: is do we exist in a age where essentially we're all naked? Who we are on the inside is transparent to anyone who has the right algorithm that can break it down. Well, whether it's your spending,
and that's what's interesting about this. In order to be able to tie this to somebody, and even to get to the Bitcoins, you have to have the secret. It's using public key crypto, so you have to have, in effect, the secret key, which means they must have seized his hardware and it wasn't encrypted, or they got him to unencrypt it. That gives you the connection, right, to his physical hard drive. But otherwise, no, without somebody's secret key, you don't know who. If I get Bitcoin donations because we have a little donate thing on the twit.tv. I don't know where those came from. I have no idea. It's a long number.
But you don't care either.
I don't want to know.
Well, I don't know why.
It's anonymous.
See, I don't think so. I suspect strongly that we exist as a series of patterns. And we all do this, whether it's in the way we relate to other people.
Fishwood.
We tend I'm telling to use, you.
What did he take?
He's high.
I hear you. I really do. What I'm thinking
you don't.
No, I do.
Okay.
So I think what he's getting at is, like, look, we have...
We're screwed is what he's saying. We're doomed.
What I'm hearing is we perform a lot, but the nature of who we actually are is available to anyone who sees the full extent of everything we do.
They can see through the mask.
Exactly.
To the true person.
They can see I'm sorry.
And where do they see that? How do they see that?
Through every digital/virtual interface.
The metadata. It's in the metadata.
So
I just... metadata.
And Leo brings up a good point because this is the reason this is exceptional is because it never existed before. We never logged every move we ever made. Right. Before our lifetimes.
I love your moves, Schwood.
He's sounding so much like Dennis Hopper right now.
Hey, generation man. In history.
Oh, man.
The patterns of your life are stored on drives, man. They're on drives.
It helps and that he's not in the room.
Look. Oh, yeah.
I know, because he'll kill me right now.
Let me tell you some facts.
Now we're going to facts.
Capital F, facts. Incoming.
Tell me if you disagree with any of this. We live in an age where somebody can look at your history of tweets, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 tweets.
That's right.
And manufacture a tweet that will pass the Turing test of looking like it comes from you.
That's correct. Yep.
True or false?
True.
Right. So in that regard.
Episode of Black Mirror.
Really?
Is it? Wow. All right. So like in that regard, we exist as a pattern that can be replicated. And in that regard, we are.
I'm counting on
copying a tweet is not the same as being replicated.
No.
You're taking a huge leap of faith with
that's
that
true.
One.
And no, that's true.
Schwood, if I could.
Yes.
Poet didn't know it.
But you're.
And I would love to bring it back to the last of our tech stories because I have a feeling we might be losing some people, but it's always fun.
Oh, yeah. No, they're all gone already. Their audience has left.
But it's not about the audience anymore. This is about us now.
It's always about us. It's been about us.
So here we go,
Schwood. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to Twit Late Night.
This is like Twit Philosophy Hour.
Yeah.
The trick with the limitation on your theory, Schwood, is that not all of our self is expressed in digital form. So if you have a pie chart which represents all of us, what percentage of us is actually...
I think I understand what you're saying.
I have thoughts that never touch a machine.
No, I understand that, but right? I think what you're saying, Brian, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that if you have enough data points in the mix, you can triangulate somebody's total persona
at some point.
I don't know what that number is, but the word total
is premature.
Do you not think that you leak stuff into the things you say?
Leak does not represent the full volume behind the leak.
So you think there's something hidden that even if I had all of your data,
this got to do with the Bitcoin guy getting busted?
Because he got busted based on being himself online. We're solving the problems of the universe.
There's a direct link.
We don't even know it's the same guy, so I'm not buying any of this.
Well, in that case, then nothing is nothing.
Well, that's always true.
And there's a great song.
So nothing what's interesting is that an FBI spokesman says that they will likely exchange the seized bitcoins for dollars after the trial concludes.
Sure they will.
And they can upgrade healthcare.
Of course, they've shut down Mt. Gox, so I don't know where they plan to do that. But anyway.
All right.
They have to put Mt. Gox back online so they can get their money.
That's
going to work.
It is a very interesting world the FBI has dealt
with. Future's
now,
weird, y'all.
If you heard my interview on Wednesday, we had the guy who founded LavaBit, the email system that Edward Snowden used, Ladar Levinson, was on Triangulation on Wednesday.
Okay.
And talked about how the FBI approached him. And his sense was that the FBI had no clue what they were up to or what they were looking for.
Mm.
And yet this is fairly sophisticated FBI work. I mean, this is pretty deep work. I wonder where the truth lies. Are there experts within the FBI that can do that kind of triangulation that you're talking about, Brian?
Well, I think Brian should be hired.
Could you do it?
By the way, for the record, I apologize if I took us into deep philosophical territory.
No, I love it.
It's like I'm fascinated by this idea, though.
No, I think that's a very interesting premise.
Yeah, it is.
What is that critical amount of data that you can get about somebody that you can know everything about that?
And so
that you can reach within to that.
I was very,
or at least predict with a certain level of accuracy what Turing, they're going to do next.
Turing test is the key that it's indistinguishable from an actual person. Whether we are really, in fact,
one tweet won't do it. I can tell you
right now.
It's
not a tweet.
No.
But don't you think there's a certain amount of data, whatever that amount is, at which point.
This is a statistically significant.
All you guys are crazy. Okay,
we're going to reach that, but that's a new kind of singularity that I think. I think we're going to reach that, and I think we're going to reach that.
Oh my God!
Black
Leo. No, absolutely. Think about this. There is somebody born. I think Leo's 100% right on this. Who will be so good at recording their track record and use certain words and certain types of jokes and certain positions that you will be able to predict with a degree of accuracy so high that it will be indistinguishable from the guy's actual tweets when he was alive. I believe this. I'm hoping this happens
before I die so that we can keep Twit going.
Yeah,
because we'll have a 3D.
There you go.
Program.
Yeah, you can
know,
have. A,
I'm going to go this far, Leo. I'm
fake
say,
everybody.
We're going to be talking to dead people.
Hold on. Wait. Get ready. We're on episode 429 of Twit.
Yeah.
I would bet right now that somebody could manufacture a fake episode of Twit out of entirely our previous.
Yeah, if it was an episode like this, that's for sure.
Well, it might not make sense. You're right, but it would be to all appearances
the Turing test.
a real version of TWiT. You could do it with audio only. It's a little more tricky with video, but you can do it with audio. And I think we're just a short. We're not far from that. I think that's a very interesting premise. Is that Black Mirror?
There is an episode which involves a woman whose husband dies, and her friend says, "You can talk to him." And she says, "What are you talking about? This doesn't make any sense." She signs her up for this service, which scans in all of his public statements.
Oh, wow.
And then creates essentially an AI instant messenger bot, and she starts texting with her dead husband. And then she feeds it
totally
more
believable.
Information. It's not far off.
I don't think we're here yet, and we don't know what that amount of data
if that's
is.
Him and all, it gets very interesting.
But we are, you know, and we're, by the way, as people who live in public, the first people that will happen to. And I, for one, am happy.
Or the last.
I, for one, welcome our overlords.
All right.
Just tell the machines I've always supported them.
Real quick, Baratunde, don't be that guy that it's easy to say that everything's bad for the first time ever. Odds are, and you know this as well as I do, that we live longer, we live happier, healthier lives, we have more free time, we're free of more diseases than in any time in history.
MTV do this with Tupac?
What?
Yeah, they did. They did. I saw that.
Perform on stage.
Oh, you're talking about the hologram.
So-called hologram.
Yeah,
it wasn't a real hologram.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, it wasn't a hologram. Yeah. It was a Pepper's Ghost illusion where they had like some Mylar.
I love Pepper's put it at 45 Ghost. God bless Pepper's Ghost.
And it's Tupac.
It's Tupac.
Tupac.
What did I say?
I said Tupac.
You said Tupac.
So it's 50 cents.
50 cents.
And Tupac?
Where's that music that comes at the end of the show? Where is that?
Man, I am so sorry. I feel like I totally derailed it by trying to get us into mushroom territory.
Did you get paid to do this? Are you like working for some other network?
I'm not.
Not you, him.
No. He is. He's like Mr. Discovery now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Shark Week every week.
And you know why? Because that's a Disney. Sure. Isn't that owned by Disney?
No.
Schwood.
Well, that should be.
Schwood, here's what I think we could do. You and I could try to initiate, maybe it's a monthly thing because we're both very busy.
Yes.
But I like doing these little philosophical left, right, north, south, back and forth things.
Yeah.
We'll have our agents talk to you about that.
Yeah, have your agents talk to Leo.
I'm having a conversation with my friend Schwinn here, with my bro.
Is your agent Ludacris or...
You can call it the Nutball Hour.
Little Wayne? Is that your agent? Little Wayne?
It's
have Little Wayne, 50 Cent, and Ludacris.
Tiny Wayne is my agent.
50 Cent.
Call me, and I will talk to them about...
Done. All right, we're good. Awesome.
We'll continue this Philosophy Network.
If you think this show is crappy, you ought to see this.
On TWiT. TWiT Live Specials.
Today we think we have the biggest step yet. And delivering the vision that is iPad, that it deserves a new name.
iPad Air. All right, does anybody have that in their bingo card?
Nobody.
Frame rate.
Netflix had a very positive earnings report. Among other things, they now have 31 million subscribers in the United States. That's more subscribers than HBO.
I'm sorry, it sounded as though you said more subscribers than more than HBO?
OMG Craft.
1.7 is here. You've been waiting. New features. It's like a whole new Minecraft.
Triangulation.
Your name, LavaBit, was tied with Edward Snowden. When were you first approached by the U.S. government?
I was approached in May. I just was so taken aback by their scope and what they were demanding that I felt I had to shut down as a result of that complaint.
Gizwiz.
Next people that go by, I'm going to scare them.
Chocolate bars for the poor. I don't know.
TWiT, now also available in several colors of unapologetic plastic.
That was a weird promo.
That was weird. That looked like a house ad.
Very consistent with the show.
Huh.
Everything about it was perfect. I say change nothing. That was amazing.
For shizzle, manizzle. All right. We're going to take a...
My head is resting on the actual.
Keep going. So
everything's great. Nothing's
I'm
wrong
so
here.
Sorry.
Just you're doing great.
As Schwood said,
pay no attention. Tom Merritt, I think this is going to be a big week. What's coming up on the weekend?
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's some of the stories we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Starting today, Samsung's DevCon kicks off in San Francisco. That goes for a couple of days. Monday, October 28th, Aereo launches in Detroit. Sweet. Apple has their earnings announcement. Groupon and Yelp also have their earnings announcements on that day. Tuesday, October 29th, GamesBeat kicks off in Redwood City. And it's earnings palooza. Nokia, LinkedIn, and EA all have their earnings reports on Tuesday.
What
is Assassin's
that,
Creed 4 Black
Badger?
Flag
what the hell?
Launching for the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and Nintendo Wii U. Wednesday, October 30th, it's the Dublin Web Summit in Dublin.
Are you going?
Yeah. Also, awesome. Facebook announces their earnings on
He's
Wednesday.
Laughing at it.
Thursday is All
That's
Hallows Eve, so celebrate it solemnly.
Halloween.
Friday, November 1st. All Saints Day. Also, the narrative clip life logging camera begins shipping. You might remember it was kickstarted under the name Momoto. And then next Sunday, November 3rd, it's the YouTube Music Awards. And don't forget to set your clocks in the United States as daylight savings time ends. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
That was like a trippy
He's very
promo,
bored.
Man.
He's just digging up
Who
all kinds
graphics
of stuff.
To go with that?
The Apple was the best.
That's editor Brian.
Brian, that's Brian. Huh?
That was Brian.
Yeah, double points for putting in Back to the Future 3 in the daylight savings.
From 3?
Clip there.
Wow.
And for the listeners that are catching this on Wednesday morning, the Apple logo they used was like the one from the early
78.
Yeah, it was multicolor
rainbow
streaking up into the
Brian really likes that logo. He has it pasted on his laptop over the white logo.
It's the inspiration for Nyan Cat.
So what's this about?
I don't know.
Okay.
So what's the deal with
Tupac? Tupac. I want to get it right.
I don't think you can.
It's too late anyway.
That's the emphasis on the two. Or
what
the
difference
Pac?
Does it make? Start talking about Snoopy Dogg. So
I love him. He carries a little dog.
So what's this thing that you're getting? You're saying I'm buying it right now.
The Momoto is coming out. Okay, I didn't know it was coming out. Oh. Except it's not called the Momoto anymore.
It's called Narrative
because they were sued by some. Body.
Named Momoto.
Motorola. Moto said
no,
you
Mr. Moto. Okay.
Yeah, they said no Moto. We own Moto.
Okay. Well, beside the point, what does it do? What are you going to use it for?
You wear it. I'll clip it on, and it takes a picture. I think every 30 seconds, uploads it to the narrative servers.
Uh huh.
It's life flogging.
Is it a public thing that it creates? Or
can
is
we
it
see what you're doing on a minute-to-minute basis?
Library.
Is that what you're telling us?
I don't think it's public. That would be scary.
I ran into
every 30 seconds? Well, it's going to be hacked and cracked.
I bike a lot around New York, and I've seen a lot more cyclists having cameras on.
I think it's kind of interesting.
To capture accidents.
It's based on Gordon Bell. Remember Gordon Bell wrote the book all about kind of keeping track of your life? He wore one of these. He actually invented it. The founder, one of the guys at DEC. And he's now a Microsoft scientist.
Another episode of Black Mirror in this, by the way.
Is there?
I'm not kidding.
Wow.
The show's really good.
The connection is.
Yeah.
And they only did six episodes
covered everything.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
It's the best writing out
anyway,
there.
Anyway, I'm excited to get one of these. It's going to be a challenge because I think the camera is a little buggy. Anyway, we'll see.
How can you say it's buggy? It hasn't even been produced yet.
That was the problem. I've heard a lot of issues. And they said, we'd rather just ship it than get it right. That makes me nervous.
They said that?
Yes.
They said
we'd rather ship it than get it perfect.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
That's different. Yeah.
But you have to ship everything.
I think you can then say it was a Kickstarter project. I think you can then turn public. I don't think it's public by default by any means. But you're right. What's to keep it from being public?
It's going
to
get cracked, and your public life will be revealed for all to laugh
about.
It's
not just your life. It's everybody's on the other side of that camera.
Black Mirror.
Yeah, really. I'm not actually in the picture.
You're not starring
at all.
It's
everybody else.
In your own movie.
Yeah, it's what I'm seeing. I think it's
so here's the question. Like, which would you prefer? Would you prefer that you had actual privacy, or would you prefer that we entered a world where nobody gives a damn?
I think everybody deserves to have privacy if they want it. But I think, conversely, if those who choose to live in public have their certain advantages to that as well. We've had this conversation, Jeff Jarvis and I, many times on This Week in Google, because Jeff, as an example, when he got a diagnosis of cancer, talked about it and found it very, the community that responded to him and so forth found it very powerful and affirming.
Yeah, I mean, publicity or publicness, varies by the group and the individual you're talking about.
Well, that's the other
harm
side
that
of it,
can
isn't
come
it?
From it.
I see a lot of women leaving Google Plus, for instance, because they're harassed.
There's an assumption that like open is always good, and that's definitely not the case. Even though it's maybe a minority of cases, they can be very horrible.
Which is why I think it should be a choice. It is a right. I believe it should be a right And whether the fact that I don't choose it is not germane.
But whether someone else chooses it for them and you fall into their little cone of publicness.
Well, and that's an issue because I'm going to wear that camera. I'm going to be taking their picture everywhere.
It doesn't matter what their personal profile settings were if you capture them.
If you're in public.
Boom.
You're in public.
There's like five more episodes in just this conversation.
Public is public. I mean, if I'm walking down the street, I'm in public.
Professor Schwood, thank you for the question.
Should stay inside.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man. That's me. I'm just dropping bombs, ruining the show left and right with deep philosophical questions.
It's not ruining.
I think your definition of the word deep leaves something to be desired.
All right, let's talk about beheading clips.
There you go.
Whoa!
That's kind of deep. Here's the Black Mirror complete series in non-USA format Region 2 PAL for sale on Amazon.
Well, you can get that working.
Yeah, you can get a special DVD player.
Just hack your DVD
player. Yeah, but I'd rather not.
Colleen was going to make this perfect face for radio, is reminding me, a collar that you wear that has, I think it was infrared, wasn't it? It was not ultraviolet. I think it was infrared. I can't remember. It was one end of the spectrum. It's invisible. Probably, maybe it was ultraviolet.
Both sides have invisibility.
Yeah,
it probably wasn't infrared. That's infrared.
That's infrared. Okay, yeah, blinds cameras. So you would look to people walking around with cameras like a floating light ball, but people could interact with you because you're wearing this collar, and it would just hide your head. I think
they
that's
do
a
that,
Kickstarter.
They do that at movie theaters now. Well, while they'll show the movie, there'll be an infrared watermark.
Cameras, yeah.
That very clearly says the location where this was pirated.
The story that you just queued up, but that we're not talking about.
Well, I don't know what to think about this. These beheading clips. Yeah. Actually, I think we talked about this.
The beheading thing.
It's
I don't want to keep changing the subject back to this, but. Why don't they just simply have the Black Mirror series available with Region 1?
That's a great question.
And sell it for the $30 they're selling it for. What is the reason they aren't doing this?
The same thing that the Disney Corporation just did. It makes people learn how to use BitTorrent.
Leo's mostly right. And to be honest, if I can bring this back to the Twit Network, this is something we talk about on Framerate all the time. And we're seeing this as an intentional move from HBO. HBO has refused to make available stuff like Game of Thrones next morning.
Yeah.
They essentially create a black market. Then they get all the notoriety of having the number one most pirated movie on all of BitTorrent,
which is
Game
of Thrones.
For their promotions, right? Correct. But they don't actually lose anything as far as their arrangement with the cable corporations. You know, they obviously HBO, in a perfect world, HBO would love to offer you an individual subscription the way Netflix does. But, you know, they're too in bed with Comcast and stuff.
Yeah, and the answer to there are people who are not, no one's an idiot here. Right, it's money. I'm sure Channel 4 has made some deal in which they get compensated for UK distribution.
Channel 4 is private. It is not
British.
It's not funded by the government. It's not funded by licenses.
But even BBC stuff is not. They have proxies.
No, they very much. But that I understand because they're saying the British public with their TV, unless they don't do this anymore. But they used to have to pay a TV.
But it's not just about that,
pays for the BBC.
But I tried to use RDO out of the country or something. It was like there's just a lot of contracts around media.
It's a mess.
And the end user never knows, and so it just looks like idiots.
Oh, so Channel 4 is publicly funded. I apologize. So it's like the BBC in that regard.
So they have some restriction that doesn't make sense to us or the future, but is very binding on their official decision.
I like, though, that Brian's theory that HBO is doing a little jujitsu with that by intentionally not offering it for download, hoping, as it is, that it would become popular through BitTorrent. And it's great publicity.
I do not believe for a minute that these guys have this sensibility. I think Brian is way over the top on this. These guys are idiots.
If I can respond, this has been HBO's philosophy from the beginning. HBO has never been concerned with actual numbers of viewers. In fact, instead, all they do is they care about getting awards. It used to be the Cable Ace Awards. Now they're eligible.
They must care about money.
Certainly, they care about subscriber count. What they want is the notoriety of being extraordinarily popular. Right. They want to create this narrative.
Because their revenue comes from subscriber count.
Yeah.
Pure and simple.
But they also, their ability to just sell directly to end users is very much limited by the economic reality of their deal with cable distribution.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
and they don't want to cannibalize that.
Yeah. So,
so that's why they you can't use HBO Go and pay them $5 a month.
Right, it's not just, I mean, I think Schwood's point, as always, I tend to agree, but...
it's always a big but.
By the way, that's the title. That's the title of our show.
I tend to agree, but
Schwood and Baratunde. I tend to agree, but
didn't you study improv? It's always yes and never.
This is yes. Not an improv moment.
Okay. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's no point in following through on the point. I think.
Are you all right? You getting a cold? You want some more honey or
no? It's I just
you catching something?
I'm not sick.
D3.
What?
No, never mind.
Is that zinc?
No, D3, vitamin D3. Is that
vitamin,
zinc?
Vitamin D3.
Yeah.
I thought it was some
you left out the word vitamin. You just said D3. I don't know. That could be D3. All things digital conference.
Could,
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It could be the triple digital conference.
What do you think about Walt Mossberg, Wall Street Journal, leaving the Journal to start his own enterprise? David Pogue, New York Times, leaving the New York Times to go to Yahoo, but still, in effect, to take the personal brand and go solo. Jessica Lessen leaving the Wall Street Journal to form her own funded enterprise for news. I find that very interesting. Pierre Omidyar.
All of it's good.
Who went
what
to
did you say, Shrewd? What?
Shrewd. Wait, did you call me Shrewd?
He said it's
Shrewd.
Shrewd.
S-H-R-E-W-D. Shrewd.
Yeah, Brian for interrupting. I say all of that is good.
I thought you said it was all bad.
Glenn Greenwald, the journalist in the UK at the
Guardian,
who's left the Guardian and gone to an investigative journalist startup funded by former eBay founder Pierre Omidyar. I think all of this is very interesting.
Yeah.
There is a move towards a personal brand.
Huh, never heard of such a thing.
Well, you are the original.
I'm not the original by any means, but I can say this. I think these guys think they can make money when, in many cases, they're just going to have to rely on rich...
The kindness of strangers.
Rich guys who can keep throwing money at them. Because I don't think...
Omidyar tried to buy Washington Post, was outbid by Jeff Bezos. He said, I'm going to put at least that much, at least $250 million into this, maybe more.
Talk's cheap.
Well, he's got the money.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't mean he's going to spend it. Whatever the case is, these guys are in for a rude...
Rupert Murdoch did the same
thing. They're
in
for a rude awakening unless they got a guy like Omidyar sitting there. Just, okay, what else do you need? Here you go.
I need a patron.
See, you don't need a patron. You're like the only... You are the progenitor of all these guys.
This is personal
you
brand.
You started it before anybody else in terms of saying, I'm going to make money just doing this.
I'm going to ride it all the
and
way down.
And you have been very successful. But
all right, stop talking, both of you. Look, John C. Dvorak, you epitomize... both of you, Leo and John, you embody two different aspects of the same thing. First of all, yes, personal brands matter, and it matters a lot. And keep in mind, up until this point, the only reason that somebody would go to another magazine or newspaper was because they thought they could get closer to their actual value. John C. Dvorak, right. the way you determine your value is that you go out there and you ask for direct contributions from your No Agenda audience, and it does very well. And they pretty much, give or take, give you exactly what your value as a human being who's able to, with your algorithm of insight, is able to determine. Leo Laporte did the exact same thing.
He makes
he was fired
more.
From one entity, ran off
you were
and
fired?
Said, I'm going to go straight to, give or take, whatever. He goes off and says, hey, world, what am I worth? And the world bought Bricks and founded Twit. Baratunde, you haven't pissed anyone off yet, so I don't know how to determine your value.
Isn't that what you want to do, Baratunde? I mean, personal brand for you is very key.
Yeah.
You have a great personal brand. We just got to get the world. We got to get the word out. We got to get the word out.
Well, seriously. I think that these guys have been working for a living for a long time that think they can go off and do this, and they've never been freelance, which is Leo and I have been contractors and freelancers. We worked in a lot of different places. These other guys who work for one place for 25 years and think they're going to go off and do this by themselves without the oversight of the man, I think they're in for a rude awakening.
Some of them are, but many of them will make it because they're entering a totally different environment.
I think the time is right.
So you have a couple different groups here. You got one, you have people that we're not talking about at all who were never part of mainstream media anything.
Right.
The YouTube kids. I have a friend who just started a talent agency focused on that whole category of people because they've got millions and millions of followers. They're kind of invisible to the mainstream discussion.
Making good money. I mean,
but
people like Jenna Marbles are making great money.
A lot of them, without the money, they're making connections. They're making deep, emotional, informational connections with an entire audience.
I do want to... to very much agree with both you and with JCD on this regard. Like the fact that somebody's talented and has a certain market value does not mean that when they leave an entity, they're able to get what they're worth somewhere else. So in that regard, you're 100% right.
This reminds me of a great episode of Black Mirror, guys.
Here we go.
You know, a guy that you should look at who also went and did this, but he's had plenty of experience in and out he didn't fail. Andrew Sullivan. Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
He was out. He was a blogger. Then he was into the mainstream, and then he was a blogger.
Has he succeeded, though? He's gone
making $650,000 a year doing that.
Okay. And here's so what will happen is you have some people who will make it fully on their own. You have some who will create new types of networks.
Right.
Where they'll pile a bunch of interestingly talented personalities, but it won't be CNN. It'll be some new thing.
Right.
And some of that's probably already happening. You have brands like AOL and Yahoo are trying to grab some of these people. I'm doing a show with AOL right now about crowdfunding.
Yeah.
It's called Funded.
But that's an AOL production.
That's an AOL production.
That looks like a really great show, by the way. Thank you very interested.
Yeah,
is that on now? It's on now.
I've been watching you tape stuff. We're done taping.
Good.
We have a few.
Where can I find that?
CultivatedWit.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not on AOL.
It's on AOL too, but their URL is harder than that one.
You're so good at
it's just not AOL.com, and there's a quick link.
There's a lot of stuff on AOL.com.
Man, it sounds almost like Baratunde. You're relying on your personal branding rather than giving out the other brand. It seems like in the game theory, this is worth it.
Everybody's why are you giving people the finger?
Because it's FU Congress.
Oh, that was a campaign we did for the American people.
I love that campaign.
Called FUCongress.com. It was very successful.
You know, I have to scroll very far. Where?
I'm so sorry, sir.
It's not here. It's under projects.
Yeah. I didn't help you.
We got to work on your...
Baratunde, what's it like to be on Twit and have Leo just criticize your website in front of everyone? Is that
weird? My website's great. I didn't feel anything.
It's beautiful, but I want to find funded. So it's a 10-episode web series.
Yeah.
Highlighting it's about Kickstarter stuff.
Yeah, so we picked 10 businesses across the country that have used Indiegogo, Kickstarter, Circle Up.
How come you didn't go to Kickstarter to raise money for this?
AOL has
plenty of money.
You didn't need to
have plenty of money. Why go through the aggregation?
That would make it the Kickstarter show.
Yeah, because it's not just Kickstarter. It's Indiegogo.
But we did an event last week. So that crowdfunding's part of it, though. So I think you have... People who are directly monetizing, they're going straight to their community, they're merchandising, they're lining with brands.
It's a great world.
Some of them. So Roman Mars, there's a guy named Roman Mars who does a great podcast.
Dude, 99% Invisible is one of my favorite podcasts. So the fact that you were hanging with Roman Mars just blows my mind.
He's in our series, and we did a Google Hangout with him last week where they launched another campaign to raise $150,000.
Wow.
And they're
that's what's interesting. I have never heard of Roman Mars, and yet... So what it is a lot of people like these YouTube kids who have these bubbles of community and fame. A lot of people have never heard of Twit either, by the way. And they have these bubbles of community and fame. And they don't – this is so different from the way it used to be where you were nationally famous or nothing, right?
Yeah, and because that system depended on mega hits.
Right.
Or something very local. I mean, you obviously had like local –
You could be a local
journalist,
local famous.
Local celebrities, local artists.
You weren't
going to
make
rappers.
A lot of money doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a new possibility of building that. And so what Roman and 99% Invisible, for those who don't know them,
they
do a podcast about design and architecture.
Oh, I love that subject.
They this campaign was about going weekly. So a year ago, they raised $150,000. He was able to hire a producer, raise production values, spend more money on quality.
Yeah.
Now they're going weekly, hiring another reporter.
That's
so
awesome.
They're employing people, and their community showing up to back it. So they're doing well, doing really, really well. But crowdfunding as a way for these quote-unquote personal brands, also a term I don't really like.
This bothers a lot of people, though. Maybe people are getting used to it now, but we used to talk about this all the time, and people say, but there's so much content, and I can't find it, and how do you get discovered? And because people are still in this other mindset where it's the mega hit mindset. Are people kind of used to this now, and it's okay, and... You know, am I happy to be a YouTube star, and or does everybody want to make a mega hit at the next step?
So you're starting to have. It used to be that all of this internet stuff was seen as just the trampoline or
the thing you do until you make
to
it
to get to network something.
Right.
That is not quite the case anymore.
Good.
I mean, Netflix changes that with Orange Is the New Black and
quality.
You know, that's such a quality show.
I used to tell
House
people that in my keynotes all the time that I hated it when I saw people in new media saying, "Well, this is my launching pad to real media."
Everything is real. Everything's potentially real.
This is
quality
real media.
You still have a large number. You know, hitting broadcast numbers is still a big deal.
And I think that, but I think still that's going to go away. But I don't know if you
we're
can
in a
do
shifting
that.
World. It's There's a lot of competition.
Yeah,
too many options.
I think what you're going to have is a lot of smaller numbers. Mm-hmm. It's the music industry happening.
And then sustainability changes at lower level becomes more possible at lower levels if we do this right.
Right. I like this world.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take
Apparently.
A break. Yeah, well, I'm making more money. I can afford a toilet that costs more money.
Yeah, you got an expensive toilet. The show is going on forever.
Save it for
always
after
goes
the break.
On forever. It's going to wrap up in a moment, but first, Comcast offers HBO without cable service. What? Did you see this story? This just came across from a Boy Genius report this afternoon.
No.
How does this even work?
Comcast has made a new internet service plan available in some markets. Internet Plus includes 25 megabit internet service with HBO Go, but not Comcast cable. You're getting Great. Internet service that's only the, from them. This is Comcast finally recognizing something they didn't want. I remember talking to people in the cable industry who said, we can't make a living as an internet company.
It's a lie.
You don't think they're going to do this?
No, I think they can do it. I think they can make a living
this
way, too.
I think this is Comcast saying
this
is
the business
model. They
want to see what goes on.
They're
going to charge you something. They gouge you one way or another. Hey,
keep in mind that HBO had done something similar. And if this is true, obviously this is breaking. We don't know. But HBO in Norway or whatever Icelandic area, Scandinavia, had already done something like this. So it's not entirely
right.
implausible that this
yeah.
could happen.
You do it in Scandinavia so nobody will know. I'm sorry. We have so many great
Scandinavians.
Going
know
to
how to keep secrets,
go over
Leo.
To Scandinavians.
$39.99, you get local TV channels only. You get internet, fast internet, and you get HBO. That's this plan.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be $100 after a year, of course.
Well, that's the problem. They are a monopoly in most communities. You don't have a choice. That's the cable company.
And no one will run them out of town anymore because right. you can't really.
Can't. You look good. Are you doing those M100s every day?
Or... Not every day.
That's Boy, that's a good thing. Yeah, I want to yeah. do that. Yeah.
Trying to live.
Why don't you longer. See, this would be good for a high-intensity workout right now.
Okay.
While I'm doing the ad, see how many M100s you
can. That is not going to happen. Jeez. Oh,
do you
man.
Know what you guys know what M100s are?
I'll drop the YouTube
no,
video
I don't.
In the chat room.
It's awesome. You do. You start with squat thrusts or burpees, right?
Burpees, yeah.
And then you do the running man, and then you do jump and shoot, and you do 10 of each. You do 10 of each in rapid succession, and then you stop for 10 seconds. Wait, how long do you take a break? 30 seconds?
As long as it needs for me to live. Because
you've
got to
do this until you're in pain.
I think you should do it now.
And then you do it again, and you got to do 10 of them. 10 times 10, 100 of each. It's like a, but how long does it take? 10 minutes?
No, it takes more than that.
Like half an hour?
Yeah.
But it's all you need.
It's a, it's
and
really
you look like Baratunde. Look at him. Look at him in this t-shirt. He's so good looking.
Dude,
look how buff
he's got a 12 pack.
I say do B100s. That's
What's that?
Right. Drink a beer and you just kind of sit there for a little bit and you count
you
to 100.
You look buff too. How do you do it? We go to the gym every day. Come on, Schwood. You're a magician.
Like
we know.
He's in a studio he's there. Pretending. What has he got there?
He's got a studio. That's a studio.
It's a good looking
studio. It's a great studio.
It's a good looking studio.
He's got switching.
He's got some lights.
He's got Playboy.
Now I don't understand why his glasses aren't coated, though. It's really weird. See,
they actually are. This is as good as you can get. Like, this is the first time I ever spent money to get. Nobody cares about my glasses, Leo. Everybody cares.
He sucked
about
you in. Carbonite.com. Carbonite.com. If you are worried about Crypto Locker, what is the answer? If you get bit, good backup. Backup where you can go back in time to your unencrypted versions. Carbonite is the solution. If you are not backing up, please do me a favor. The Crypto Locker, first of all, don't get Crypto Locker. But if you
so that's great medical advice.
That's the first start. Don't get sick.
As a doctor, I highly
if you can avoid
discourage
it, try not.
Have you tried not getting cancer? Like, that's just an idea.
A good
just
start.
Try not.
Yeah.
But if you get Crypto Locker, it will encrypt everything it can see, all the lettered drives, right? So if you have a backup drive just sitting out there, no, it's good. If a network attached to it, no, it's good. If it can see it as a drive, it's going to get it. What you need, and so that's why hot backup is not enough. You need a backup that preserves versions, that is off-site. You need Carbonite. And one of the best things about Carbonite, it's flat rate, less than $5 a month for everything on a single computer. They do have small business plans, network attached storage, external drives. They have versioning. I think versioning is only on the Windows version, but if you're on Windows, that's the one. You know, nobody on the Mac has to worry about Crypto Locker. This is also a great solution because even if somehow Carbonite backs up the encrypted file. You still got a previous version always available to you.
Smart.
I think this is a good solution for you. Now's the time. You can try it free for 2 weeks. You do not need a credit card. Just need our offer code TWIT. If you decide to buy after 2 weeks, you'll get two free bonus months. Carbonite, C-A-R-B-O-N-I-T-E, carbonite.com. Is it ringing? Offer code TWIT. What's the matter?
His phone's ringing.
I'm so sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right.
Nothing's happening.
No. Thank you, Carbonite, for your support of This Week in Tech, and everybody really should consider, if not Carbonite, something. You like that? You want that? It's yours.
It looks like something's wrong with it.
What's wrong with it?
It looks like the ink is like purple.
Yeah, some code is because some guy sent it to me. He watches the show. Hi. Thank you for all the mugs.
As we all know, when some guy sends something, the ink goes bad. That's a common problem.
Apparently. It's a nice look. I like this little rim.
Hey, Shua, there's a chat room comment I think you'll love from Web5612. Can Carbonite back up people?
Oh. It's only a matter of time.
Oh, yeah. Any minute.
Go to teespring.com, T-E-E. I think you're going to like this, John. I'm going to get you one.
Okay.
Teespring.com/twit. Teespring is a neat startup. They were college kids who were making T-shirts for people. We've got our new T-shirt, our fall tee. This will only be available for 3 weeks and 4 more days.
Disney.
Yeah, it works. We do offer it in, you can get your choice of Fruit of the Loom, American Apparel. We also have an LAT or LAT women's crew neck T-shirt.
You got hoodies?
No. It's just this. It's a T-shirt. That's it.
Oh, okay.
$15, though. It's a good deal.
That's a steal, Leo.
Yeah. I don't think I probably at that price, we hardly make anything.
You'd make nothing.
Well, we might make a little bit. Get it in nice colors, too. How do you like that red and the green? Anyway, I just want to, as long as you're mentioning mugs.
Yeah.
You know who designed this? One of our editors, Anthony Nielsen, is such a talent. He does the best ofs as well.
Huh.
He's good.
The house ads?
Yeah, the house ads.
Huh.
That's because he's a house editor. Support the Innovation Act of 2013. Stop patent trolls. This is a good bill.
I actually don't know anything about this, and I need you guys to spell it out for me because I'm very excited about the possibility of shaking up our patent troll problem.
Here's the one key thing of this. There's a number of things in this bill, but the one that will really make the difference and is probably the most controversial, you can recover court costs if you win against a patent troll. So one of the reasons patent trolls work, it costs them nothing. Right, it's cheap to sue somebody, and generally the patent troll is the lawyer who's prosecuting.
Right, he's doing it on spec.
He's doing it on spec, so it really is very cheap for them to sue. However, if this passes, and I'm hopeful it will, it was introduced by Bob Goodlatte, nicely named Republican of Virginia.
Sounds delicious.
You will be able to recover legal fees. Now, the way patent trolls work is they come to you with a license fee that's somewhat less than your total legal fees would be.
Yeah, it's the game.
Yeah, and then so you're going to do the equation and say, well, I could sue them and lose and owe them twice that, or I could just pay them. And even if I win, I still have to pay more in legal fees, so I'm going to just give them the fee. This way, in Canada, they do this now, and it's very effective in preventing trolling and a lot of kind of random litigation.
I'm filling it out right now.
Yeah. So support this. You can go to EFF.org. Go to action.EFF.org. And let your member of Congress, Zoe Lofgren, supports us. Spencer Backus, Jason Chaffetz. These are all co-sponsors. Hal Coble, Peter DeFazio, Anna Eschew, Lamar Smith of Texas, Tom Marino, George Holding. It is bipartisan. It is the right thing to do. And as somebody who is a potential victim of patent trolls, because there's a podcast patent troll, I am 100%.
And one of the benefits of filling out this form on the EFF.org website.
It's super easy. For example, look, I'm able to write my senator, Ted Cruz.
He's your senator?
Yeah.
Why don't you call him?
Yeah, call him instead.
He's probably not doing much right about now.
There's his number.
Yeah.
I don't have my phone on me.
In all seriousness, calling is very effective. They will write down what you know, obviously Ted's not going to answer. Unless you get them. Maybe Sunday night.
You might get lucky if they're left after 5 o'clock, maybe about 5:30.
Yeah,
you got my pickup.
Nintendo, here's a sad note, has ceased production of the Wii.
Okay, you say sad, I say good riddance. Like, hey, guess what? Also, newsflash, Apple doesn't make the Apple IIc anymore. It's like, whatever.
The Wii is like, that's their premier brand.
Yeah, but they got a new one.
The Wii U does not work without a Wii.
What?
Wait, what?
That's not true.
Wait a minute. You can buy just the Wii U by itself?
Yes.
Of course. Yeah.
Hello? Wii U is their replacement for the Wii. And in fact...
Oh, like, I thought like the Wii U was like a second screen for the Wii.
No, it just happens to have a second screen.
The Wii U comes with a second screen, but the whole thing is like the Wii needed to die.
Well, then who cares if they killed the Wii?
They also killed the couple of the old Game Boys, I believe.
Oh, I thought that... Okay, I misunderstood.
Good riddance to the Wii.
I was misinformed.
Your lack of HD was stupid, and nobody liked
bye
it.
Bye-bye, Wii.
Goodbye, jerks.
Now, I ordered an Xbox One. I probably should buy a PlayStation 4, but I'm looking at the games. Now that Watch Dogs is off the table, I don't even know what I'm going to do with this thing.
Dude, Watch Dogs was like, here's the thing. I am very
dude,
motivated.
He said it.
Okay, that's the second dude.
After you, the second dude. Yeah. Dude count at two. Hello, fellow.
I
am
word.
Not buying a zombie game. I will not buy a zombie game.
Even if it has co-op mode?
I was very, very excited about Watch Dogs, and I was really bummed to hear that it got bumped back. Although, realistically, I would have played it on PC in any way. I don't know if it was simultaneous release or not. Wow, I just said that on Twitter. The important thing is that... simultaneous release, like having sex.
Oh, yeah. Evil,
oh, wow, I missed that.
Hilarious. I kind of got it, but I can't believe you made a reference to it.
Wow. All right. Apparently, I'm on a different level. Baratunde got it.
Will they have Plants vs. Zombies on the Xbox?
He fell asleep, actually.
Yeah. Simpsons Tapped Out. One of my favorite games.
I tapped out. Sorry.
Simpsons? What?
All right.
What are you asking?
Nothing.
This is the problem with these remote lash-ups. The timing is off a couple of milliseconds.
No. This is not a Skype problem. This is a Brian's brain problem. Don't worry about
Brian's
it.
Brian's running out of
shrewd.
Brian's running out of steam. Shrewd. We could talk about healthcare.gov.
No.
But that would be a morass we would never get out of.
No.
I don't want to, unless we have the code in front of us, what's the point?
It's totally bogus. It's like, I want to say this mainly to Baratunde. I apologize on behalf of anyone who you perceive as being on my side of the political spectrum who's hammering on the execution of healthcare.gov. It's a cheap
if
shot.
If the
it's
government
bogus.
Can't even run a website,
it's
how
bogus.
Does
it doesn't
to run
matter.
Healthcare?
That's, right. If
who
you're
says that?
Oppose something, oppose
lots of
it.
A lot of people.
Like
yeah.
who?
I can name
Rush
them.
Limbaugh.
Now, let me give you a little, just a quick question. Now, if you're accusing the right wingers of being critical of they can't run a website, they can't do this, the government's no good. How come those same exact people say that the military is so great and our military is fantastic? Well, if the military can do what it does, and the military can run the healthcare. There you go.
Bingo. Microsoft erects a giant tablet in the center of London.
I'm sorry. It sounded like you said Microsoft erected a giant tablet in the middle of London.
That's what he said.
This was a Skype connection.
And there's actually a picture of the giant tablet.
It looks very pretty.
Next story. Ladies and gentlemen, I really think there's no way to continue this without...
What is the point of the giant tablet in the center of London?
Grab attention
it's
for the tablet
it's to explain
business.
God's covenant.
How about just
Don't
giving
you
them
pay
away?
To anything?
It's the end times.
Yeah, that's what it
isn't,
is.
Isn't it in Revelation that when Microsoft erects a giant tablet in the center of London, that's the end
Anytime
of the world?
Anytime they erect anything, the way I see it.
They're making a lot of money.
Shrewd.
Look how big it is. You know, I think
that
Shepard
thing is
Smith,
huge.
Shepard Smith should get some of these for the Fox News set.
How do you make the little inches. Icons move around? You need Jump a giant
on the
hand.
There's a guy doing it. Look, they're touching it right here.
The guy's on a ladder.
It's on Trafalgar Square.
Have you seen Shepard Smith lately? He's like a doughy blob.
I think he's getting...
He's everything he's I'm afraid...
Some, I think he has a health
he's
problem.
He's had some work done, I think.
Sure. If that work means getting old and doughy and soft and everything,
Why are you going there? He looks fine.
Why is he a target?
It's this Texas thing going on. Something in the air. Why are you in Texas anyway? How come you're not in Hollywood?
We tried to get him to move here. We have tried. I've talked to his wife. I talked to his wife, and I said, Brian Brushwood's wife why don't you move here?
You didn't call her by her name?
I don't know.
Can I tell you?
Ryan Brush was white.
Hello,
that's
Wyatt.
Probably why she said no.
I can't call her
address
Schwood.
Her as an individual
Mrs.
human
Schwood,
being.
Why don't you move
Shrewd.
To Petaluma? Shrewd.
Same reason. BB for Brian Brushwood, BB for Breaking Bad. Same reason
Are
we're
you
not
breaking
in California.
Bad? Are you Breaking Bad?
Hey, well,
Are you
I
making
am
the
right
meth?
Now.
Do you have an
I'm
RV
telling,
out back?
I'm telling people the truth. Look, it's untenable. There's no way I could possibly keep my operation alive in California. The taxes are ridiculous. There's no
Is that really
functional
is
way.
That really why you're not here? What is the income tax in Texas?
Nothing.
Zero.
What is the sales
but
tax?
But he also
in
gets
Texas?
Ted Cruz. 8%.
Yeah, 8%. How's that do anything for you?
No, that's
like,
good.
And
no,
also
that's
so good. It's like, no, I'm in the perfect position. Like, Texas is one of the top three states in the country for incoming businesses. And part of it is because that they have no income tax. And plus, if like me, your business is primarily online, everything you sell, you don't have to charge income tax.
Oh, I like,
it's like
that. No sales tax.
There's no way I can get out of Texas right now.
Well, I guess I wasted my time with Mrs. Schwood.
Yep, you did.
I can get her in here if you want to talk to her. No. You can bitch again.
What you do is you run for the California legislature and you change the taxes.
Oh, yeah.
There's no taxes in Washington State either. Where
or
Bill
Nevada,
Gates
or there's plenty of places to go.
Yeah. No, Hairline does fairly point out in the chat room that there is increased property tax in Texas. But again, it's like, look, I mean, Texas is one of the top spots to move a business to right now, mainly for those benefits,
mainly for the weather.
I am proud.
Oh, my God, it's too hot. Too hot.
I am proud to pay my fair share.
Yeah, that's what I think so, too.
Taxes.
Senator LaPorte, ladies and gentlemen.
If you really want to go on the cheap, you move to Southern Washington to Vancouver, Washington, down by Portland, and you don't pay any income tax, and then you shop in Oregon where there's no sales tax.
That is breaking
the best
social
of
contract.
Both worlds.
There is a social contract.
Yeah, that's called the bridge to Portland is the contract. That's what you do. You drive across,
Who
you buy
for
stuff
that bridge?
There.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Brushwood could be seen on NSFW at an undisclosed time. And day on the Twit Network.
I like that. Let's say that from now on. Undisclosed time and location.
I'm sure you can find it. If you go to scamstuff.com, you can name his daughter.
Scamstuff?
Yes. Scamstuff.com, sir.
Like, actually, that naming rights is gone now. Unless, are you doing that ex post facto?
Yeah, that's correct. But take a look at this, man. We finally came up with a tagline for what Scamstuff is because we didn't know what to call it.
Yeah.
We call it gear for the modern rogue. Like, if you're somebody who loves getting into trouble, check this out. We got
I like
this.
The rogue's ring.
This is a lace escape tool. It's an aglet that you just put onto your shoelace, and then when you get caught in handcuffs, you've got to forget.
Wait, that's a great
idea. This should
be
on Silk Road. What is this stuff?
This is good. Doing? It's legal in Texas. That's the beauty of it.
All we're doing legal in Texas. Legal in Texas. We got bump keys.
You can't sell bump keys.
Tools.
That's illegal.
Not in Texas, it ain't. We got
bump keys. Now I understand.
Now we know why he's not
now
moving to Hollywood. Where
are you going to sell plastic gun parts next? What are you doing here?
Make a printer. Get a printer. Sell a printer.
Dude, we got this flask.
No,
that
you
don't.
You're
out of flasks. We had a triple dude.
It's very, very popular.
Scamstuff.com. I want to buy everything on this site.
That's great.
Does this get out of jail card free work?
Oh, my God. 9 times. I've been pulled over 9 times. This is not even a joke.
No, you give them this from a Monopoly game?
How many times are you getting pulled over?
Let him answer the question.
If you tour, I mean, Baratunde will verify this. If you tour enough, you're going to get pulled over a whole bunch. And when you do, usually it's for, like, you know, chicken shit. You know, 5 miles over the speed limit stuff. And when you do, like, that's within the realm of they can let you off the hook. So what I always do, and this is not my idea, this is the magician Mike Super's idea. Like, I get pulled over and I show them
free card.
Actually, that's the follow-up. The first one is the photo.
So I got to buy more than just this card. Okay.
No. The first photo. All right, here. I'm going to do this.
So, Mr. Brushwood, do you know how fast you were going?
You got a courtesy badge?
You
passed What's
through
the deal?
The parish of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Do you
I'm
know,
sorry.
Sir?
I'm sorry, but here's my ID. That photo right there has gotten me out.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, you are the shiniest-looking mofo I have ever seen. Please, continue on.
All you got to do is just make them laugh, and that photo has made them laugh.
That's actually a good idea. I like that.
That's brilliant. Okay.
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 Shrewd is shrewd.
That's smart. And then, but then, is it a 1-2 punch? Do you again give them the Monopoly card?
Yeah, no, and then they ask for my insurance, and I'm like, "I'm sorry, officer, this is a rental car, so I don't have one." And so, and then I'll hand them the, but I'm told this will help, and then I'll hand them one of these right here, and then they'll let me go. 9 times in a row, Leo.
It's worked.
That's not even a joke.
What does he do? He goes, "Oh, you are such a dumb mofo. I'm gonna let you go."
it's like, look, whatever. They like you, and in fact, like Mike Super, my friend, will go even
this
farther.
Is why
he'll tell
me you got to be likable.
Yeah, well.
He'll tell like a super cheesy joke. Like he'll get pulled over. He's got a whole routine he does where he says like, "Officer, I'm really sorry. You know, when I know I was speeding, but I got panicked. It turns out that last year my wife of 13 years left me for a peace officer. And when I saw your car and I saw your headlights and I saw the spinning sirens, I got upset and I was afraid you were trying to bring her back." So that's and then,
that's a good gag.
Very nice.
Just I wouldn't have the guts to do that.
Make the cops laugh.
Would you have the guts to do that, Barrett?
I wouldn't have. I got out of a ticket because I was a comic once in the
telling a joke.
California. I think I gave him my book.
Wow.
Yeah. He felt bad and knew that comedians don't make any money.
He said, "I'm so sorry, like, sir.
The state of California has no claim on you.
Not only are you a comic, you're not a very funny comic, and so." Baratunde, go to cultivatedwit.com. It is a great site.
All
watch
the questions
funded.
In life are answered there.
Anything else?
Anything you need.
You up to? You got the hack, comedy hack?
Comedy hack day. We're trying to do 4 next year.
Where are you thinking about?
We're looking at New York, LA, San Francisco, and Berlin.
You were in the Twitter headquarters last time.
That's right. And we did it at the MIT Media Lab.
Awesome.
So we want to just keep getting bigger.
And it's open
and
to
better.
The public. People.
Yeah. Absolutely. Until like seats sell out.
Awesome.
But yeah, and I'll be in Dublin this week at the Web Summit, and then
Dublin, Ireland.
Ireland.
Awesome.
Big Dublin.
The one we just talked about.
That's right.
So that sounds like fun.
It will be.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you.
It's always great to be
so
back.
So nice
man.
To see you.
Thanks
I wish you didn't
me.
Live in Brooklyn then, because I'd love to have you. Can I get you to move to California?
That is highly unlikely. Yeah, but we could talk more. Thank you.
And all this time I've been trying to get John to move to Washington State.
So. Yeah, he's trying to get rid
away.
Of me.
Is that I'm
gonna,
John, could you move out of state, please?
I'm going to be no place except at home trying to clean my office. Dvorak.org/blog. You can check that out and have a drink. Also, channeldvorak.com is a good place to check out what I'm writing. But it's the No Agenda Show.
That's
there you
the
are.
One. That's the one that makes all the money.
Go to
can
that.
I put in one more.
Listen to noagendashow.com.
Looking for an apartment in Brooklyn. Anyone out there has any leads?
Good.
Baratunde.com.
Have you been
let me
couch
know.
Surfing?
I wouldn't use that verb, but I've been residentially flexible for some time.
Is it? Wow. It's time to settle down.
Can I just say, like, flatly and for the record, that this might be my favorite show of Twit that I've ever been on. This was aww. Exceptional. Having Baratunde and JCD and Leo on here, this was. I don't care if any of you guys liked it, but it was the best, most fun that I had.
I always have fun with you on Schwoods.
Well, you're definitely in a different dimension, so I'm sure you enjoyed it.
We should keep going on that tech philosophy thing. We'll follow up.
I don't know what he's
that
on, but I'd like some.
Subject. Yeah, and I do think we should do a show where we just sit around
just
and we talk stuff
it.
Like that.
Yeah. That's what we did.
Oh.
But not on purpose. Like, it'll be on purpose the next time.
Well, it probably won't be as good.
Time. It's Chad Johnson, our producer.
Yeah, Chad.
Anything I have left out? Before I call it a day here, I need a gavel.
That's a great
Judge
idea.
Judge Leo.
Get that little one that they go like this. You
okay,
seen that
yeah,
thing?
Yeah.
It's made of usually ivory.
Really?
You've seen it. Boom.
Is it? Can I get it on scamstuff.com?
What's the question?
He would have
ivory court gavels.
He wants something from
an
animal that's
that
being
happen.
Hunted.
How about this? An expanded quarter shell.
Yeah, no. That's so that mean? you can appear to take a quarter out of someone's hand and yet leave it there because there's two quarters. See,
how do you get that thing in their hand though?
Well, you place them both in. Hold on, what are you trying to get me to do?
Trying to give away the secret.
We do this show. I'm sorry, Nick Bilton wasn't here. Will you tell Nick that he missed a really really good show?
I will.
And we're trying to get him on
behalf.
Oh, by the way, it was our 6th anniversary of the No Agenda Show today.
Have you been doing that show for 6 years?
Isn't that ridiculous?
I am finding that amazing.
Yeah, I am finding it something.
Happy,
that's
happy
a long
anniversary.
Time for a
thank you.
Deal.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
congratulations.
You.
And I'll, on behalf of Nick, who I know he did want to be here, wasn't any kind of personal thing. His book is out November 5th. It's called
No, he doesn't get to plug
Hatching
his book
Twitter.
Without
he's not plugging
up.
It. I'm plugging it.
No, show, no plug.
I read the excerpt on the New York Times. Yeah. And that was why we wanted to get Nick in because the Twitter
I'm sure
IPO's
he'll get back
up.
Here soon.
He's got to come back. What's it going to be called?
Hatching Twitter.
Hatching Twitter.
That's the hashtag. That's the title.
Comes out
November 5th.
All right, next week.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. We do Twit every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Starting next week. It will be at 2300 UTC because our clocks go forward.
Oh, no.
2300 UTC.
I thought, wait, isn't it fall back?
Fall back.
Fall back. Forward, spring fall forward. Back. Or is it spring back and fall
no,
forward?
No, spring forward, fall back.
It's one of the two.
Freaking Keystone Cops.
Well, if we move our clocks back, then the rest of the world perceived us as starting later.
No. they would be earlier.
Fall back.
If you go forward and they go backwards,
I'm not trying to explain it.
And then you
go anywhere.
And then
you're starting later.
All I know is we're GMT minus 7 now. We will be GMT minus 8 next week.
That makes sense.
You figure it out. Thank you, everybody. We'll get back to work now. Oh, gavelstore.com. Another twit is in the can. Awesome. Is that real? Is that Gavel Store?
Is it? That's it. And it's awesome.
Doing the twit. All right. Doing the twit, baby. Doing the twit. All right. Doing the twit, baby. Doing the twit. All right. Doing the twit, baby. Doing the twit. All right. Doing the twit, baby.